Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We're here live tonight, and it's another Live to Faith Talk show, as always. And we're here to minister to you personally and pray for you and all that. So if you need some encouragement tonight, need some prayer, that's what we're here for, literally. So get in there, all right? Join in, get in, whatever you need to do. And we will... Okay. All right, give me a second here. I'm gonna get on. All right, we're here to minister to you, friend, and let's believe God to pour out a blessing on you, life, on your life. Yeah, and I can talk, but not always. Anyway, so really good to be here tonight, and we're going to be praying for you here in just a little bit. We're going to be also praying over your finances tonight, believing God for financial breakthrough. And, yeah, that's one of the main things we're going to believe God for in the next few months, because we are setting up, as you guys know, a situation where we can really be blessed. And it's with all those people that have been, called to PGN and blessed PGN financially. And your tithe or your offering or whatever you call it. And we're going to believe God to pour his spirit out on you and literally physically bless you with money. Yeah, for sure. And we've been talking about it for a while now. We're in the middle of setting it all up, so we have to give us a little time. Doing our board a little bit, our board of directors and that kind of thing, and kind of freshening up and getting ready for a new era of the prophetic and the prophet and what God's going to do with the prophet realm. It's going to really be amazing. So make sure to jump in there and be a part of it. We're going to believe God to literally physically bless you and cause you to shine financially. I mean, it's not just getting you to do something to get blessed. We're going to make sure you get blessed. And that's, we're believing it's up to God. I think God's up to it. I mean, really, I think God is up to it. So if y'all are ready for it, then let's get ready for it. All right? Yeah, let's get ready for that. All right. So prepare the way. I've kind of been preparing the way for this for a long time. I didn't know what I was doing exactly, but been preparing the way for this, trying to get people to understand, whatever you're called to, make sure to jump in there and do a good job of it and do it with all your heart. And a lot of you have. So it's really, really good. And I'm going to believe God for the manifestation of his glory in the realm of finances for you. And, because tonight we pray over offerings. And so I'm really adding that all together, putting that all together with you. And all right. So we're really, really excited about what God's done. It's really awesome. The message God's given us, the whole thing. All right, people are giving right now, so I'm kind of getting that all together as I open up the show. So pray for me, as you do every week, of course. But so it's really important that things be done decently and in order. And we definitely believe God wants to do things decently and in order. I think I'm going to plug this in so I can get us started. All right, there we go. Now I think we're going to be better. I think let's try it and see what happens. And hopefully you can hear all that real good. Thank you guys for giving. Those of you who are giving out, give right for less, right before the show, I kind of add all that up and start putting it in there. So give me just a little bit of time to do that. And so we're going to be doing that and talking about the Word of the Lord tonight. Yeah, sure. All right. All right. Okay. All right. Let's get ready for the Word of the Lord. I have some things I want to talk about tonight and share with you and open up for you to start believing and trusting in God about. So let's do that first. Give me just a second here. Okay. All right, one last one, and then we got it. All right, I have some things I want to share with you tonight, so let's get into that, and let's believe God for what he's speaking to us out of the Word tonight. Some very important things I want to share with you and give out. All right, so let's go here, and, you know, some of the things that we've talked about already, you know, a little bit, I want to talk about that, you know, a little. Whoa, do you hear that thunder and lightning? Yeah, thundering and lightning. Awesome. I think that's a good start for the show. A little good natural background background. Yeah, but who can beat that? Naturally God-given, for sure. All right. Let's go here and do this. I'm trying to get this going on here. I'm just messing it up. Okay, give me a second. Okay. All right. All right, so one of the things I want you to think about, I got a question I want to ask you. Have you ever heard of a man of God in the Bible, a real man of God, a real man of God, like, yeah, a real man of God telling God to repent of evil? Anybody ever heard that before? Have you ever heard or known of in the Bible where a real man of God, a well-known one, somebody who knew what they were doing, not some false prophet, but telling God to repent of evil? Anybody ever heard of that? Anybody ever heard that at all? Anybody? I mean, is that new to you? Is it new to you? New to me? Anybody ever heard of it? Where God tells, God is told by some, you know, well-known man of God, not the most well-known person, but a well-known man of God. The man of God tells God to repent of evil. I mean, can y'all believe that? Do you think that could happen? Do you think that, is that right? What is that? And, yeah, so, you know, I want to kind of share this with you a little bit, because one of the things I've been wanting to talk to you about is the way that God has, the way that God, okay, somebody answered me, I think. She says, was it Moses? I'm supposed to answer that quickly. Yeah. Anyway, yes, it was Moses. Moses actually told God to repent of his evil. God said that to Moses. I mean, you know, I mean, I know I've read that just like you have many times. But so Angela Lanham got that right. He says sorry. I'm just kidding. And LaShawn says Moses. Yeah.
Now you got to think about this. So the whole thing is, how in the world could Moses tell God to repent of some evil? I mean, he's telling God to repent of evil. And then guess what? God does it. And he uses those words. Those are the words in Exodus. They're literally right there. And I want you to see this. I want you to, the main thing I want to get into, I wanted to get into it the other night, but we got distracted by the Holy Ghost. But I want to share with you the relationship that God has with some of his people. It's amazing. I mean, God talked to Moses, I think, more than anybody. I don't know. As far as, you know, God having the whole conversation, you know, where he was just telling Moses like a secretary, like a scribe, I guess you should say, like a secretary, you know, writing down every detail and had to make sure and get it right. You know, so I'm not sure exactly how it was all written down. We don't know that yet. But God talked to Moses for I think 16 chapters at least without stopping. Yeah, in the book of Exodus, I think chapter 25, God is telling Moses about every little piece of the tabernacle. I mean, every little piece. And there were hundreds and hundreds of different pieces. And he described each little detail of everything. I mean, it was so detailed, friend. It would literally blow your mind if you knew how detailed it was. You have to go back and read it. I mean, go back and read Exodus 25 sometime and just see how detailed that God talked to Moses and how much information that he gave him. I mean, it was so much information that I was going like, how in the world did he write all that stuff down? There's no way he could have written all that stuff down. It was so much. It was just a massive amount of information. And it's God. And the Bible says, and the Lord says, and the Lord talks for like 40 days without a stop, and just about literally just about 40 days without stopping. And Moses is writing all this stuff down, and you see it in Exodus 25. I'm going to get into that a little bit later, but I want to share with you. Some people think, well, God just doesn't really talk that much. You know, he may say a few little things like get right with God, don't do this and don't do that, you know, and all that good stuff, and do this and do that, and do the good things, don't do the bad thing. And so, you know, some people think that's all God ever really talks about. But God spoke a lot, man. I mean, like I said, there were 16 long chapters in Exodus 25 that the Lord was just talking and just yakking away, giving Moses descriptive details of every minute detail. And it was God talking to him. Could you imagine that? You can imagine what kind of relationship did Moses and God have? And you know, and he wasn't even saved. He had a covenant with God, and God chose him. But let me tell you something, friend. When God decides to choose you, it doesn't matter whether people choose you or not. If you can ever get that in your spirit and really get it down in you and just really live it and believe it, that it doesn't matter whether somebody votes for you to be the woman of God or the man of God or to hear from God or to be called by God. It doesn't matter what they say. And the sooner you get hold of that, in fact, sometimes the more you get rejected for it, sometimes it's even more the calling that you have, you know. And you know, Moses was pretty cool. I mean, he was a beautiful baby. His mama and daddy said he's a beautiful child. And they knew there was something beautiful about him other than his, you know, little baby, beautiful baby physique and, you know, his cute little face. I mean, there was something beautiful about him that was from God. And so, of course, they hid him out and put him in the river. And then, you know, one of the ladies at the, one of the high-ups women in the courts of Pharaoh raised him. And so, you know, he got to be raised by the Egyptians and learned the Egyptian language, whatever that was, and also probably some Hebrew. And so, you know, we don't know exactly all that right now. But the thing is that God talked to Moses a lot. God and Moses had something going on that was very unusual. Yeah. Have you ever had somebody come up to you that's mad at somebody, and maybe you have there's three of you and you're all three friends? You ever had three of you where all three of you, three or four of you are friends, and one of the friends says something really stupid to you and you get really mad, and the other friends are holding you back from going and whooping up on them with your mouth at least? You ever have that happen where, you know, they're holding you back? You know? Yeah, I've had that. Randy, don't do that. Don't go tell them that. Don't go say that. Don't do that. You know, that's not going to, no, don't do that. We're going to hold you back. Well, the same thing happened with Moses and God, except it's God telling Moses, leave me alone. That's literally what he says. Leave me alone, Moses. Yeah, Exodus chapter 32, verse 10, it says, Now therefore, leave me alone, God says, that my wrath may burn hot against them and that I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. And Moses begged God and said, Lord, you know, why does your wrath burn against your people that you have brought out of the land of Egypt and great, with great power and with great and a mighty hand? Why do you want to do that? And God says, of course, in verse 9, he says, they're a very stiff-necked people. They're very stiff-necked. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friends. When you start entering into a new phase like we are right now in this era that we're entering into with the Biden era, the non-Trump and Biden era, you know, is it kind of what I'm calling it, kind of as a point of reference? But this era that we're in, friend, is like none we're ever going to see. It's like none we're ever going to see. We're going to see the people who have been the leaders of our religious world, our Christian charismatic evangelical world, and others that are going to become like this right here, stiff-necked. Stiff-necked usually comes from people not getting a hold of the new. When the new thing comes along, they kind of got it, but they really don't got it. Yeah, they kind of believe some of it, don't really believe it, you know, and they don't really don't get all it, and they become stiff-necked. And every time you think you've got them convinced that of the new thing, they turn right back around and want to go back to the old thing because, yeah, I don't know, Brother Chandler, or, you know, well, I don't really know about that because, you know, you're just getting crazier by the minute, and on. You kind of can't blame them in some way. But at the same time, it's like you're going to see this happen in our generation. We're going to see a separation out, like in the days of Moses with the children of Israel. We're going to see a separation out of God's people in a way that we've never seen since those days. God is calling out a new people. It's like in the days of Jesus when he called out a new priesthood, you know, a fisherman and tax collectors. It just didn't make any sense. It was just nuts. And Jesus was not even of the priesthood, and he was the Son of God. The priesthood was the Levitical priesthood, and he was not a Levite. He was of the tribe of Judah. And so this whole thing was such a major transition that people just couldn't get a hold of it. And the same thing with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. They came out. They watched God bring them out. It was a real move of God. It was an amazing move of God like no one had ever seen before. And yet at the same time, they were so still caught up into the old. They were still at times dreaming, well, even though we had to work really hard, at least we had plenty of food. At least we were taken care of, like the government was taking care of them. The government of Egypt was taking care of them. Well, at least we were taken care of, they didn't say it, by the government. Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, so as they came out, there was a transition going on where God was now going to become their shepherd and be their source. And so he brought them to the wilderness where there was no obvious source. There were no animals to kill for food. They couldn't kill their own animals because they needed them, you know, if they would have started eating their sheep and they wouldn't have had any animals left because there was too many people and their sheep and their goats and all that, their animals needed to multiply and increase. And if they'd have been eating them, they wouldn't be living. So God had to provide. He had to provide. And because there was no other kind of provision, lest they ate their own sheep, their own, lest they ate their own prosperity, really their own animals, and they weren't going to do that because they had to have them, and so especially for the future. And so God had to rain down and become their source. And friend, let me tell you something. The transition of making God your source, when the government's been your source, when you're having a hard enough time, you just go stick your hand up to the government and the government takes care of you. I'm not saying there's anything wrong. If God blesses the government to bless you, and praise God. But make sure you're keeping God your source, because the big thing's going to come along where the government's going to come up with a system. The one world government's going to come up with a system. And if you're kind of half-hearted in and out of it, when they come up with a system that's going to provide for you and take care of you, and it's called the 666, and we're going to have a DNA thing for you that we're going to help your DNA become stronger and better, and it's going to be awesome. And if you are kind of halfway in and halfway out, you just probably under the pressure are going to fall into that. Yeah, and that's not going to be good. That's not going to be good. So in order to really, God is saying to his people, don't be stiff-necked. Don't be stiff-necked meaning, well, if this God thing doesn't work out, we'll just go back to where we were. We'll just go back to Egypt, and we'll eat Egyptian food, and we'll live in Egypt. And we may be working all the time, but after 400 years, we kind of got used to it, and at least we always knew our food was going to be there. Friend, we got to break that, and that's what God was trying to break in the children of Israel. He was trying to break that in them. So he took them out into a place where there was no obvious provision. Sometimes God will bring you into a place where there seems to be no obvious provision for you. No obvious provision. In other words, God's going to have to provide somehow or another. So when you begin to understand that and you start going through that, and then you find yourself complaining and doubting just like the children of Israel did, and then pretty soon if you're not careful, you find yourself in a place where God is providing for you, but you wake up every day wondering if it's still going to keep happening and doubting and complaining about it, which I don't know any blog talk PGN people that do that, but, you know, I'm just talking about people in general in the body of Christ. So when you start doing that, it causes you to go in circles. And you go from circle after circle after circle until pretty soon the circles get you so dizzy, you become a dizzy circle kind of person. You go in circles and getting dizzy. And so it's not good. And so God is saying, you know, let this be an example of a lesson for all of us to learn from. Randy Chandler, you, whoever you are, learn and see and ask God to keep you from doing that. And so, because God wants to bring us into a relationship with him. He wants to bring us into a relationship with him. And God was trying to show us through Moses that even God talked to Moses like he was his buddy. You know what God wants with us? God wants to be our God and our Lord, that we respect and honor him and reverence him, but he also wants to be our friend. I mean, it's obvious even in the Old Testament, much less more in the New Testament. God says right here, he said to Moses, leave me alone, Moses. Leave me alone. Let me go after these people. And God said this to Moses before Moses ever even did anything or said anything. Moses hadn't even said, don't do that, God. It's like God had a word of knowledge, and he knew that Moses was going to be saying and trying to hold him back, that before Moses could say it, he says it in chapter 32, verse 10. He says, now therefore, leave me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them. That's the kind of relationship God has. It's like, you know, like Moses could really hold God back. You know what I'm saying? So listen, think about what's happening here. God is saying, leave me alone, Moses. You can't hold me back. I'm not going to let you hold me back like he could hold him back. Because you know what? And then later we see, a little bit later, where God tells, Moses tells God to repent of his evil against his people. Chapter 32, verse 12, it says, why should the Egyptians speak, saying, he brought them forth for evil, to kill them in the mountains. In other words, get them out in the wilderness and kill them, and to consume them from the surface of the earth. And Moses says, turn from your fierce wrath and repent of this evil against your people. Repent of this evil. Now, this is Moses, a human being, talking to God. I mean, you got to think about this. What kind of person is our God? What kind of person is he that he would say, don't hold me back. I'm going like Moses could hold back God. But in a sense, he did kind of hold him back. In Exodus chapter 32, it's like God was influenced by a man he loved. Listen to this, friend. Listen to the Old Testament. God was influenced. God the Father was influenced by the man he loved and have chosen. And so he said, leave me alone, Moses. Don't hold me back. I'm going to whoop up on him. Yeah, and that's before Moses ever even said anything. Then and a little bit later, he says, he starts, because God says, I'm going to kill them all. And Moses goes, well, the Egyptians are not going to, they're going to think you brought them out here to kill them. You know, and he told, Moses tells God, turn and repent. He uses the word, he tells God to repent of this evil against his people. And the Lord repented. Verse 14. Yeah. Verse 14 says, the Lord repented of the evil which he said he would do to his people. Why did he do it? Because Moses was holding him back. In other words, it's almost like the Lord was saying, I need somebody that will hold me back. So even before Moses tried to hold him back, even opened his mouth about, don't do it, God. Even before that, God says to him in the verses above, he says, be quiet, leave me alone, just leave me alone. I'm going to go after him. Even before Moses tried to stop him, because he already knew he was going to try. See the relationship going on? You ever had somebody like you hope they hold you back because you don't want to do it, but, you know, but I'm just trying to tell you I'm mad, I'm angry, hold me back. like Moses, could a man, a human being, could hold back the God of the universe? Listen to how vulnerable the Lord is with his people. Watch how beautiful relationship and friendship that we can have with our Father, where we can tell him, repent of the evil, and then he goes, okay, I'm sorry, I repent. That's actually written in the Bible, y'all. It's in the Word of God. Isn't that beautiful? It's a beautiful thing to watch Almighty God listen to one of his servants and go, wow, you know, okay, I'm going to let you hold me back, Moses. I wanted you to, but I was just trying to tell you, man, I'm really ticked off. We'll just take you, Moses, and you and I, we'll make a new nation of you, because you do pretty good, even though later Moses messed up, right? You see that? Do you see the beauty of that relationship with the Father? And when you read Exodus 25, when you start reading Exodus 25 and read on for about 16 chapters, you see where God was just like waiting for somebody that would really listen to him. That would really listen to him. Let me see if I can find that. I think it's in chapter 25. I'm almost sure it's in chapter 25. Yeah. Okay, yeah, verse 25. I mean, chapter 25, Exodus 25, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, you know, and then he just starts talking. He starts saying, speak to the children of Israel that they take up an offering for me. Look at this. He tells Moses, the Lord's telling Moses now, he said, okay, Moses, this is before this is going to kill everybody. This is in chapter 25. We were in chapter 32. Now we're in chapter 25 before that. He says, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, and then he just starts talking all this stuff, giving him details. Speak to the children of Israel for me, Moses, that they take an offering for me. Could you imagine God saying, take up an offering for me? It's like a preacher standing behind the pulpit, and I've never done this before. Okay, pastor, can you, like, take up an offering for me? I mean, think about it. Yeah. He said, tell them to take an offering for me. Exodus 25, verse 2. From everyone whose heart makes him willing, you shall take my offering. In other words, they were raising an offering for God. I love this stuff. Raising an offering for God. Amen. And then he goes on down from 25 on. According to all that I show you, the pattern of the tabernacle, 25, verse 9, chapter 25. 25:9, he says, according to all that I'm about to show you, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, so shall you make it. And then he goes in, friend, I mean, chapter after chapter, he's just talking away. It's like you get the sense of this, like, God has just been waiting for somebody that would listen to him and write down what he said. It's like, oh, now I got somebody who will listen to me. Now I got somebody who will write down what I say and take notes, because what I have to say is really important. And so he speaks for 16 full chapters without taking a breath. I mean, he downloads every detail of everything, from the priest's garments to every stone to how to weave the materials, what kind of thread to use, what kind of material to use, what kind of material to use for the hats and the crowns and all the different decor, the different imprints that they made and the decorations that were imprinted on the on all the garments and all everything, on all the tabernacle. It's specific details like you've never seen before, friend. And God is talking to Moses, and Moses is just writing this stuff down, man. And I mean, it is huge. It's huge, much less putting all that together and putting that those words into action, putting those words, literally physically taking words and pictures off a page and literally making a tabernacle out of that. Now, that took a lot of wisdom. It took a lot of grace. It took a lot of God. It took a lot of amazing stuff going on, I guarantee you. When you start seeing all this stuff and how much God just wanted to be with somebody, with some people, he just said, man, it's almost like God was lonely, though I don't think God gets lonely, but it's almost like God's going, yeah, man, finally I got somebody who will listen to me. And now that I got somebody that will listen to me, what I'm going to do, Moses, because now I've got you to listen to me and write it down, everything I'm telling you, and do it according to the pattern that I'm going to tell you. Now that I've got you to do this, oh, it's so wonderful. This is so amazing that once you get it built the way I'm showing you, according to the pattern, then I can come down and dwell among my people. Oh, I've been waiting for this. I just want to be with my people. And then you see once they built the tabernacle that the cloud just showed up all the time. Like, okay, I think I'm going to visit them every day. I haven't been able to visit anybody. I'm going to come and visit with you like every day. And God would come down into the tabernacle that they built, and the cloud would descend upon the cloud. God would descend upon the tabernacle, and you could hear. They said they could hear him in there talking. God's talking and Moses is talking. Moses is talking, God's talking. Friend, do you see this? Do you see? I mean, I know we kind of already know this to a certain degree, but you know what? When you start reading, even reading the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit starts quickening this information. The reality of it is how much God wants to fellowship with us, how much God wants to talk to you and give you information. But the thing is that you have to decide that you're going to do what he wants you to do instead of what you want to do. And when you start walking in the desire realm, then God's going to start talking to you, and he's going to start giving you pages and pages and pages and pages of revelation, things that he wants you to know. I think he needs about a million people. He could use a good million people like Moses that will just write day and night for 40 days, maybe 40 years, and can write day and night. A million people could write different things for 40 years, day and night, day and night, day and night. And God would just yak, 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 talk, communicate, because he just loved to be with his people. You feel that, friend? You feel the heartbeat of God in that? I want to weep when I think about it. I want to weep when I see it. I want to weep when I feel it. The love and the connection that God wants with his people, it's so beautiful. It's so amazing. It's so glorious. It's so precious. It's so like a mother wanted to be with her children, like a father and a mother and a father wanted to be with their child and be with their family. Like, I've been longing for this moment, and this is just the beginning. And then finally, everything he built in the tabernacle had to do with really Christ and Christ coming and Christ being able to come and dwell among his people. And in Jesus, you see how much he loved the people, loved. He just loved the people. He wanted to help them, heal them, deliver them. I think when he was at the Garden of Gethsemane, the reason he wanted more time, wanted this thing to pass, because he was loving being with God's people, broken and the humble. And those were just, you notice those people, just like the Father right here, when he found somebody like Moses that would listen to him and write down everything he said, and think it was important, and know it was important. how much Jesus felt the same way when somebody actually felt like what he was saying was important, and how he would just pour out to them and feed them and nurture them and love them. When people started realizing who he was and believing it, they came running to him. Friend, this is what it's really like with Jesus. This is what it's really like with the Father. It's not like this hierarchy bunch of stuff, people telling you, you got to come through me and do all these things. This is the biggest bunch of hogwarts I've ever seen in my life. Jesus Christ has been, the Father God built the tabernacle and did all the things that he did for many years, and then Christ came along and fulfilled the law as a human being, God in the flesh, so that, Father God could actually gather his people together and then come inside of each one of them and dwell within them, which was his ultimate, one of the ultimate moments that he had been waiting for since he lost Adam and Eve in the very beginning. It's not only us that lost God, friend. I wish I could take the, my old pastor used to say this all the time, and I have to give him the credit for it. It was so amazing, so beautiful. He said, he would say, most people don't realize that it's not just what we lost when we lost God, but it's the other way around also. It's what God lost when he lost Adam and Eve. He created them because he loved them, because he made them to fellowship with him, because he loves the fellowship. He loves to talk. He loves to visit. He loves to tell you how to dress, to make yourself look the best, and how to relax, and how to relax so much that you can relax so much that you can just sleep good and have peace and feel safe. He wants you to feel safe. He wants you to be safe. He wants to rid the earth of evil. It's not just some game God's playing to see what's next political thing we can have going on so we can see whether we have a good king or a bad king. He's already dealt with all that and all the kings, the good kings and the bad kings, the more bad kings than good kings. You think God's not tired of all that and this political thing going on? We never know what we're going to get for 4 or 8 years. He's sick of it, friend. God is sick of it. You look here with Moses, how God was dealing with Moses, and Moses was dealing with God. He said, God says, I'm sick of this. I want some people that will listen to me. And when they listen to me, well, they're going to be our family. And our family is going to be blessed. Because I want to be among my people, and I want to dwell among my people so I can talk to them and share with them and love them, be their friend. Be their God. Sometimes God may use you if he knows he can be a friend to you, he may come to you like he did Moses and say, hold me back, man. Come on, Randy, hold me back. Hold me back. I'm gonna take them down. Hold me back, Randy, hold me back. And then I tell, like Moses tells God, God, you know, you need to repent of that evil, man. That's evil stuff you're fixing to do. That's evil. And then the Lord goes, okay, I'm sorry. Friend, do you see that? I mean, do you see that? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that glorious? I love to talk about it. I love to feel that moment when God and Moses were just like, hold me back, Moses. Hold me back, man. I'm ticked off, man. And Moses says, God, that's evil. You need to repent of that. And then God goes, okay, man, okay. I told you not to hold me back. You did it anyway. Thank you. Like, you know. I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting carried away with this. Is this kind of like, you know, weird or odd or something? I don't know what you guys are thinking about, but this is just like amazing to me. I mean, I'm just like going, you know, I love this stuff, man. This is just beautiful. This is beautiful. I want to pump this out to the world. I want to give this out to the world. And God wants to give it out to the world. He wants to feed his people this kind of information. He wants to feed his people and the world this kind of thing. So we can have the relationship. God's just looking for friends, man. He's looking for friends. Friends just do what he says and care more about him than they do about themselves. Well, you care more about God and what's going on. God, Moses cared more about God's reputation than God did. You see that? He said, but God, you know, your reputation, the Egyptians are going to think that you just brought them out here to kill them all. You know, that's going to ruin your reputation. You ever had your mama come up to you saying, now, son or daughter, I don't want you doing that because that's going to ruin your reputation. When you do that, people are going to look down on you because she really cares more about you than she did about herself. That's the way Moses was doing God. Moses was doing God like that. He said, God, your reputation, man, think about it. God, I don't care. I'm going to whoop them all. I'm going to take them. Hey, I don't like these stiff-necked people. I don't like stiff-necked people. Yeah, delivered them, saved them, brought them out. Look at them, whining, complaining all the time. They don't realize. And the reason Israel did that is because they didn't know they could have a fellowship. They've been taught all these years, just like we've been taught things that are wrong about God. We don't know God. Jesus said, you don't know the Father. You don't know my daddy. You don't know him. You think you do, but you don't. You don't know him at all. And then he would, you know, this stuff. And it, the thing that they really didn't like about Jesus, that he acted like he really was friends with God. And like he really was his son. Like, you know, how creepy is that? You can't be his son. That's blasphemous. That's blasphemous. You see how they were thinking? You see how people think today? All they got is religion, friend. I don't know. Religion just makes me want to throw up, and I've done my share of it, and I've been full of it myself. I'm ready. God is ready. He's ready, man. Yeah. Yeah, and I think, I don't know who this is saying this. This is Mike or Veronica, I don't know what he's saying. Laugh out loud. Moses is like, yeah, I told him, man, Moses was like, don't do it again, God, not playing, but we are cool. Be cool, God. Yeah. I don't know. When I read that today, I just got all this today. I just got all this today. I think it was not the 25 part, but the 32 part. Because I was listening to 25, you know, I was going to share 25 with you guys last night or night before last year. And because I'd been, you know, getting a lot of revelation on that. And then we got off and I started taking off on that. And then we went into a completely different direction, which surprised me. And so I got it. So, you can tell I was listening to 25 now. I'm listening to 32 today, 32, 33, 34. I'm listening to all this, and I have to stop and go, what? What is this? You know, and just start seeing. When the Holy Spirit opens up our eyes to what was really going on with them, friend, it's truly amazing. It's truly amazing how God really is. I mean, he's just really, really cool. He's an amazing God. All right. Well, I just try to share with you guys what I get, literally. Yeah, when I get something, I just share with you right then what's going on. Yeah, like street talk. Yeah, gotcha. Leroy Brown on the, that was like, we cool, yeah. I'm not as cool as you are, man. I thought that's what you were saying, but I wasn't sure. Is it slang like street talk, like Leroy Brown on the street saying, cool? I love it, man. I love it. And that's really right. It really is right. That's, you know, it's a lot better than we think it is. We think God is just, he's looking for a friend. Let me tell you something. Let me just say it to you like this. God is looking for a friend. He's looking for a friend that will listen to him. Like God spoke to me one time. I told you all this many times. He spoke to me and he said, Randy, I'm just looking for somebody that will let me talk to my people. I can't talk to them from heaven, like a megaphone or something. So I want to use you. I gave you a gift so that I could use it. I gave you a gift, Randy, so I could use it. Will you let me talk to my people? Will you let me just talk to them? I know people don't understand the prophet. They don't understand the prophetic. They think the prophet prophesies. You're going to be a doctor or a lawyer, or you're going to be a, you know, you're going to work as a carpenter or be a housewife, and that's basically it. And they think that's all God wants to talk about. But Randy, as you read my words, you're going to find out that, like with this Moses thing, that I just want to talk. I want somebody I can be friends with. I want a friend. that'll care more about me than they do about themselves. Because I'll show you that I care more about you than I do about myself. Friend, it's a beautiful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. It's a beautiful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. As a newborn baby in Christ, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior tonight, just say it with me, dear Jesus, I want to have that relationship kind of like Moses did. I want that relationship, Jesus. Can I have that? And the Lord says, yes, you can. Just say, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. Christ Jesus, I receive you as my Lord. I receive what you did on the cross for me. I thank you for dying and raising from the dead on the third day and ascending to the Father and then sending the Holy Spirit so I can have that intimate fellowship with you, Jesus. That's what I want. And if you pray that prayer right now with me, Jesus is hearing you. He loves you. He wants you. He really, really wants you. He wanted you so bad that he watched his own son be brutally beaten and whipped, his flesh stripped from his skin, piercing holes in his body as the blood came rushing out. The pain and suffering that Jesus went through, God Almighty let his son be abused by the meanest people, by demons filling people and torturing him. God Almighty, the Father of the Son, a father watched his son be stripped, torn to shreds, pain like no man had ever had, and he did that for you. Don't waste that. Please do not waste that, because that's what God wants us to have, and even greater than what Moses had. That's what God wants us to have, friend. That's his heart. That's his love. That's his precious, tender mercies reaching out for you, saying, I want you. I want you. I'm not looking for fault. I'm looking for you to be forgiven of all your faults. I'm looking for you to be restored to what you had, things you don't even know how good you had it. You would have had it had sin not been brought into the earth through Adam and Eve. I want to bring it back to you. I didn't do that to you. The devil and sinful man did that to you. The Lord says, I didn't have anything to do with it. I've come to restore you. I've come to send my own son and watched him be brutally tortured and torn apart so that he could pay the horrible price for sin so that I could have you back. I want you that bad. That's how much I want you. Please come unto me, all you that are heavy laden. Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest from your struggles. Rest from your sins. Rest from the battles that you can't seem to win and that keep overcoming you and you don't overcome them. Come unto me, saith the Lord, and I will give you victory. Victories you've never even dreamed of. Victories you've never known. Victories that will last forever and ever. Come to me, saith the Spirit of God, for I will give you rest. I will give you real rest. Amen and amen. All right. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for sharing. Thanks for giving tonight. Thank you for what you do, and we're so glad. We're just here to minister. I just love ministering to people more than I do anything. That's my favorite thing to do. I love prophetic revelation, if you will, teaching, whatever you want to call it. I call it prophetic revelation because teaching doesn't seem to explain what's going on. It's God speaking to us through his word prophetically. It's amazing how Jesus does his work. I'm amazed constantly. Amen. I hope you are too. I know you are too. Some of you have some very, very amazing things that happened to you. And I'm so grateful and so thankful for it. Yeah. All right. If you want to give tonight, you're welcome to do that. You can go to randychandler.com and click on donate. And give $1 or $100, whatever you want to do. All right.
Okay, hang on a second.
All right. Okay, everybody, let's get ready to take communion. If you have your communion there with you, that would be awesome. Let's do that. And let's believe God for what he wants to do. And open up your heart to let him speak to you and deliver the message he wants to deliver to you. And comfort your heart. Calls you to know that he loves you and he's for you and he's with you. And there's nobody like you. Just like you know there's nobody like him. There's also no one like you. And God is very, 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 very interested in bringing you hope, in bringing you the presence of God. Okay. All right. So let's get ready to take communion. Let's get the scripture together and do that. All right. Hang on a second. I'm getting these things together here. People give. Okay. All right. Okay, let's get scripture here and praise God. Okay, 1 Corinthians 11. And hang on a second. All right, grab your communion. Let's do it. Grab anyone here. Let's lift up the bread here in a moment and the cup. And let's believe God for miracles tonight. Whatever miracle you need, I don't know exactly. God may show us, he may not. All right, 1 Corinthians 11, let's read it. And Paul the Apostle, Apostle to the Gentiles. All right, said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks," he was a very thankful man, "he broke it and said," blessed it, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, sweet Jesus, for your precious body, Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord God. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, let's lift up the cup. Okay, Lamb of God. All right. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, or this do, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me." We remember you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. Hallelujah. We drink, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the cleansing and washing of our sins. We thank you, Jesus, for making us new. We thank you, Lord, for delivering us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We thank you, Lord, that without you, that nothing we do would mean anything, because we do it as we follow you, as we follow your lead. And we thank you, Jesus, that we can follow your lead, that you're leading us and you're guiding us. You're showing us the way, Jesus, and we thank you for that, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We bless your name. I speak healings of the mind. People that have broken minds, broken parts of your mind that are broken, that you can't seem to get to function, in the name of Jesus, I command those broken minds to be healed. I command those broken minds to be delivered. I command those broken minds to be put back together, be created brand new in Jesus' name. I speak to your mind to be made whole right now in the name of Jesus from the brokenness of your past, from the brokenness of even what happened to you yesterday or day before or last week or last year or last, whatever it was. In the name of Jesus, I speak wholeness to your mind, your soul, that part of you that's been deeply broken and deeply wounded and deeply hurt. In the name of Jesus, I speak forgiveness over you in Jesus' name. I speak release over you in the name of Jesus. As we celebrate, I think, Sunday, the 4th of July, and the spirit of liberty, I thank you, Lord, that we celebrate the liberty of Jesus, the greatest liberty we have. It's not just with our country. We thank God for that. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the liberty of Jesus Christ and his precious blood. We thank you for that liberty, the liberty of the sons of God in Jesus' name, that we walk in that liberty by the power of God. In the name of Jesus, be made whole. Be made whole in your relationships. Be made whole in your purposes. Be made whole in the structure of your life, where the structure of your life is not all splintered and scattered, but put it together, God. I thank you for putting together what you want. Bring together in Jesus' name all things together in Jesus, all things together in the purpose, in the purposes and the will of the Father. In the name of Jesus, let them come together right now. Come together right now. Come together right now. Things that haven't been able to come together, I command them to come together right now. In Jesus' name, come together. Be made whole. In the precious name of Jesus, gentle Savior, gentle Jesus, touch your precious people and let them know how much you want to talk to them, want to be their friend, want to be their helper. God wants to be everything to you, friend. Everything you need, he is. Everything that you need, he is. He will bring it to you one way or the other when you need it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. All right. If you want to give tonight, you're welcome to do that. Go to the website, randychandler.com, click on donate, and you can do it right there. It's really, really easy to do. And we thank you for those who, feel led to be part of PGN and who give your tithe or your offerings or whatever you're giving into PGN, a friendship offering, a little tip, or whatever you're giving. We thank you for that. And I know people are faithful to God in every level in different ways. So we thank God for everything, God. In Jesus' name, we give you the glory in the name of the Lord. All right, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. All right. Like I said, if you want to give tonight, go to randychandler.com, and you can do that. All right. Let's see here. Am I doing this right? Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. People have given as we speak. We're waiting for some of that to come through. Thank you, thank you, thank you. People are giving, people are sending in their offerings right now. We thank you for that. We thank God for all those who give all week long. And couldn't do it without you. If God hadn't called you, this wouldn't be being done. And the building, we are working on trying to get things for the studio. We're trying to find out a way that we can get the studio and get it open, not having to fix everything that needs to be fixed, to get the city to get us approval. What it takes to get the city to approve us, like we just can put one air conditioner in there instead of five, or two air conditioners instead of five, and then do the things that we need to do in the electrical enough to get it turned on, where we can move in and start, doing things. We're trying to get prices on all that. I think it's going to happen this weekend. So be praying about all that if you would. And okay. And so that way we can use our money wisest. If we had a whole bunch of money, we wouldn't care about that. We'd just go in there, you know. But we still need $700,000. We need about $600,000 now at this time. Maybe a little bit less, a little bit more than that. But still got it. I've got quite a bit to get in. So you know, we're trying to work a deal. There's no deals to be worked yet. They're just, I'm with the everything that's going on right now in the economy and in the building of houses and all that. We're expecting some things to happen there. So be praying about that. And we are working on all the time, you know, seeing what it takes to, you know, be able to get in there and get things started, get the lights on, because the electric boxes were tore out. Several things were tore out of there. Not in a violent way, but just kind of they were taking it actually very nicely. I don't know if somebody went in and refixed them up a little bit, but so we had to put, you know, the boxes back in there, hook up all the fuses, you know, the little things you hook on there in the electrical to turn the lights on and get all that stuff done that the city can approve of it. So pray for us as we do all that. And it's all going to be good. All right. Let's believe God for miracles, friend. Let's believe God for miracles. Miracles, miracles, miracles. All right. All right, let's pray our offerings tonight. Thank you for giving tonight. And as we move along, people give during the night as we pray. We'll add that to it and bring it in here. And so let's go here. Okay. All right, here we go. All right, Angela Lanham from the Carolinas, $3.33. Thank you, Angela. We bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Angela. God, we thank you for the courage you're giving her to stand the test, to stand the storm. Because when you stand the test that you go through for whatever that is, emotional, mental, spiritual, physical, or maybe sometimes we go through one area of testing, like a mental test. Then we go through a spiritual test. Then we go through an emotional and a mental test, and a spiritual test. And sometimes we go through physical and all kinds of different tests. And so as God gives you strength and courage to stand with the Lord and to because sometimes, you know, God will bring us through something just like we did with Job. He let Job come to the point to where it looked like things were going to go on. He didn't know if he was going to die or live or not, because God didn't tell him. He was only letting Satan do anything to him but kill him, so, which means he brought him to the brink of death, but he couldn't kill him. God wouldn't let him. Right, so, but we never know how far it's all going to go exactly, right? We never know. It's like when Abraham offered up Isaac, was he going to really offer him up physically and kill him, or was it just going to be, you know? So in that case, he just stopped him right short of it, just like with Satan, he stopped right short of killing, you know, Job. But Job never knew what was going on. And so sometimes we never know how long something's going to go on, how far it's going to go. But being faithful to God in the midst of it, like you are, God's giving you courage to be faithful in all of it, whether it's little battles or big battles. The thing is that we never really know how long is this going to last, you know, and how rough is it going to get. But when you realize it's a test for making you able to conceive more and receive more, because most of the time, Angel, we go through a test. It's to open up your receiver. It's to cause your receiver, the part of you that receives, to be able to receive more from God. That's what happened with Job. The whole thing with Job was to receive more, double more. So he went through a lot to receive because he already had a lot. And because he had a lot already, he lost it all, and then God brought it back because Job learned to just say, though you slay me, God, well, I praise you. And because he did that, God was able to open up his receiver to receive double for the trouble. And brother, did he ever have trouble? I'm not saying you have trouble like that, but sometimes we do. At times we do. So it can be little or big. And the thing is, we never know exactly how far, how long, whatever's going to go. But to endure, and God's going to give you great courage. And the more courage he pumps into your system, Angela, the more courage it gives you to have faith. Because courage equals faith. Courage gives you the faith and the strength to do, just like Joshua. God gave him great courage. And it gave him faith. That's the same thing. Courage and faith, basically the same thing. Amen. All right. Andrea, $5. Thank you, Andrea. We just bless you, Andrea, for your love for God. We thank you, Jesus, for Andrea, that you are multiplying her and increasing her. Lord, I thank you for multiplication and increase. In Jesus' name, I thank you for adding to her in the name of the Lord. I thank you for opening her up to add to her in Jesus' name, to secure her, to let her feel secure, that she feels secure. And yet she can be busy doing things, but she doesn't have to do them unless she just really wants to do them. I thank you for bringing her to that place, Lord, where she's secure, that she doesn't really have to do something, but she can do something because she feels called to do it or wants to do it. And in Jesus' name, where there's no bondage of any kind. No, I have to serve. I have to do this to keep myself from, you know, to make it. Yeah. All right, there you go. All right, Kendra, $5. Thank you, Kendra. Let me see if Kendra's got anything in there she wants to pray about. All right, Kendra. All right, Kendra. All right, pray for a new job. Kendra, yes. Lord, we thank you for that new job for Kendra in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for increase her, give her desire, and give other people the desire to hire her. Let her be drawn in. Let her move into the drawing room, where you're drawing her in, where she's being drawn in by the Holy Spirit. That you will draw her into your will, draw her into your purpose, into the job room. In the name of Jesus, let it be done right now by the power of God. In Jesus' name, let it be done right now. And also, we pray for you, Kendra, to have freedom, to give you freedom to choose, that God giving you the freedom to choose. It's like, it's not one thing is bad, the other things are good, and you choose which one you want, because we know you want good. But it's the three different things, three different levels of choosing. You know, you want this, this, and this, and they're all good. So you get to choose, like God giving you the choice. He's trying to bring you into the realm of more of knowing, letting you know that it's not about you got to do what he says, but he gives you his desires to do what he says. And he puts things before you to, you know, what do you desire? You know, it's not like, do you desire evil? No, what's one of these three good things do you desire? And he starts letting you use your desire realm to choose things, showing you that he's in your desire realm. What you're desiring is him. And you may misinterpret. We can misinterpret a desire from God just like we can misinterpret a dream. Like we talked about many times, Joseph and others misinterpreted dreams. And you can misinterpret desires. And we can think that desire means this particular thing, this particular job, this particular person. And it ends up not being that particular thing, something like that, but maybe not that in particular. And so we get disheartened thinking our desires are not right. But it's really about, Just like a good dream. With a good dream, you have to interpret it correctly. If you don't, you'll interpret it wrong and go the wrong direction with it, thinking it means one thing, means another. Same thing with our desires. And so God's going to show you the difference between, like a dream, having how to interpret it, because the desire was from God, but how it comes about and which way it's coming from is a different thing. So God's showing you how to interpret your desires, the desires he's giving you that are his desires, and in the desire realm, not making you do it or pushing you to do it, but giving you desire to desire it and then interpreting that desire correctly. You may say, get you a car, give you a desire for a car, but what kind of car are you going to get? Ford, Chevy, or Cadillac, or Mercedes, or what are you going to get? You know, which one are you going to get? And so it's like, you know, him working within your desire realm to creating you this awareness like, hey, my desire realm is cool from God. Wow, thank you, Jesus. And as long as we keep our heart and our desires and keep saying to him, not my will, but thy will be done, then he doesn't just make you do it by his will. He gives you a desire to do it with your will, or your will desires it. Amen. So open that up to her, Father, in Jesus' name. Bless you with that right now. All right, Shalanda, $10. Thank you, Shalanda. Thank you, Jesus, for Shalanda. Thank you for a fresh anointing to cover her. I see a fresh anointing to protect your body and protect your – it's actually an oil. I see like an oil substance. It's not – it's touching you, but it's not really touching you. I don't know how to explain that. And it's all around your head, all around your body. It's protecting your mind, your soul, your will, your eyes, your body, your physical body, your spiritual body. It's protecting your whole being. And it's an anointing that God is bringing to for protection, for an anointing for protection, and for, you know, just an anointing, a fresh anointing in your life. Yeah, I see a fresh anointing coming into your life. In Jesus' name, open that up, God, right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, open up that anointing, God. Pour it out on her in the name of Jesus. Let it be done, God, right now. Hallelujah. Right now, in Jesus' name, let it be done. Hallelujah. Yeah, fresh oil. Wow, that's awesome. Sally, $8. Thank you, Sally. Sally has some really cool revelation about America, the U.S., and about what's going on when Biden went to Europe. Of course, that's where she's at. She's in the U.K., London, and Biden went there. And a lot of things they say about his meeting was that America's, you know, becoming weak. He gave a weak presentation of America, at least in some of their views. And so how that the words we've been talking about, how that, you know, one of Biden's purposes is to bring America to a place to where, you know, it is weak, where it's, hang on a second here. Yeah, where it is, you know, not as strong as it used to be, because in order for the end times to kick in, you know, it's going to have to be like that. And so God is really, really showing that to Sally when Biden went there. Some people made some responses about that, and it really is true. It's not just, you know, made up or people being critical. It really is true what's going on. So get ready for that. America may not be maybe like a third world country, but it's not going to be like, you know, the poorest and the most. It's going to be like, going to be awful. We'll probably be the greatest third world country that there ever has been, you know what I'm saying? But we're not going to be number one anymore, and that's where it's all going. And we might as well. People are going to fight it, and I guess they need to, but God's going to win, and it's going to go that direction. And so the fight, I think, may be good for it all, where Trump and all the guys are fighting. And I'm not really sure of that, because if you know God's will, I don't know, they're going to try to save it. And Trump's going to try to save everything, and Trump can't save things that God's not saving. Sorry. Yeah. And so anyway, bless Sally. God, give her wisdom, give her revelation. God, let her show her that she's in the right place, the right position, at the right time, in Jesus' name, and how you are. That you have her set forward to be in the right place at the right time, and even being in the right country at the right time. And so thank you, Jesus, for that, and show her the keeping power of God and the purposes of God, in Jesus' name, for what she's doing, and that she is more in the will of God than she realizes, in ways that that she's going to see. Yeah, because God's getting you used to something that a lot of the world is going to have to get used to, and that is Europe is going to be the strong hand. It's just the way it's going to be. That's what the end times are about. It's about Europe being the strong hand, and it is going to be that very thing. So just get used to it. Amen. All right. Fight if you want to. That's just where it's going. My job is to be the bad guy, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. I guess I'm just going to be the bad guy. But God's going to reward us for it. So that's mainly what I'm concerned about, is God rewarding us for it. And, All right. All right, and also Kendra wanted me to pray for Elijah and peace. Pray for Elijah and prayer for peace with us. Yes, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for that. For Elijah, God, I thank you, Lord, for that whole thing, that whole situation coming together, Father, and that real peace come in that place, that it be real peace, and peace with them, peace with them in Jesus' name. Let there be a peace there, God. And I rebuke strife and contention. I rebuke anything that the enemy will try to come in and create trouble. But God, just teach Kendra how to be yielded to you, Jesus, in Jesus' name, and learn to work through it without being broken up, but to be able to bend and not bow, but bend, be flexible, and let God, change things as he goes. God's going to change things as you go. And to give him time, be patient, and watch God do it. Amen. All right, Anya, $7. Thank you, Anya. In Jesus' name, open up Anya's heart, God. Open up her heart, God, to new revelation. I think God is making room in your heart, Anya, for new revelation. It's like there's a whole other realm, a whole other place of revelation that God's bringing you to. It's going to surprise you. You're going to go like, oh, my gosh, I always wanted God to speak to me about that, but now he is. Yeah, because you've been doing something right, and God is like going, good girl, you've been doing the right thing. What have you been doing? And God is opening your heart for, a new level of revelation of the Word of God, of the end times, of things that are going on, and showing you what's really going on instead of what people are saying what's going on, what God says is going on. And the reason we got to listen to what God is saying going on, Anya, is so that we won't be caught with in the wrong place for the wrong time. Yeah. Be caught in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's the main reason. We need to listen to the right voice. Yeah, either the prophets or, the Lord, however doing it. We've got to listen to the right voice. And so that's a really, 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 really big thing. And people are going to have to get a hold of that for sure, or else, it's just not going to happen. Things are just not going to come together. So thank you, Lord, for that with her, in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen, and amen. All right, Gary and Mary, $18. Thank you, Gary and Mary. God bless you guys. The building fund, Romans 3:25. Gary says, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 1:21, he's anointed us and set his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit. Amen. And I thank you, Lord, for that. And I thank you, Lord, for the word that Christ as a sacrifice of atonement, making us one with the Father through the shedding of his blood. And giving us a new DNA, God had to make a man that had new DNA, and then he gave that DNA to his brothers, those who become his brothers, you should say. And so I think he's used for those of us who are becoming part of the family, the brothers, the sons and daughters of God. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And I thank you, Lord, for Gary and Mary, God, just being, it's kind of like I see, I don't think Mary's your half-sister. I'm not saying that. But it's like, what I keep seeing is like Abraham and Sarah, and the relationship with all that. I don't even understand all that. And the fact that God had given Abraham, you know, a covenant promise that he would bless those who blessed him and curse those who cursed him, and realized that, like I've been saying off and on, that curse is not for protection. And that you both of you guys see that when the reason want to use that example is because when you see how, where, like Mary, for instance, so Mary goes, Gary and Mary walk into Egypt, and Gary says, hey, Mary, you know, make sure, tell them we're sister, brother and sister, because, you know, when we get there, you're so beautiful, they're going to want you, and they're going to take you off, and they're going to kill me, so just, so just tell them you're my brother. So, okay, we did it. So they did it and get there. And so the whole time, even though the King Pharaoh, didn't really do anything wrong because he asked, you know, can I take her? And Gary goes, yeah. But God protected Mary as well as Gary, protected Sarah as well as Abraham, because they couldn't touch Mary. Why? Because the protection of God was on them because of that covenant. And this, I don't know why I'm bringing this up to you right now, but it's like the Lord is saying this to you the same way. Sometimes through things that we go through, we wonder if God's protection is there. God wanting to show Gary that the protection of God is on both of you, but it is on Mary. God protected Mary from, you know, Sarah from being taken by one of those other men. And a curse came on the house of Pharaoh because of Mary. Well, because Mary was married to Sarah was married to Abraham, like Mary is married to Gary. Try to say that in three sentences, that repeat it three times in a sentence. Yeah. So I don't know why God's bringing that up, but he's wanting to make that known to you like he did Abraham and Sarah, that spirit of provision and protection. And I see God bringing some extra provision for you, just like when God finally, Pharaoh goes, man, there's a curse on us. There's a plague on us because of Mary or, you know, Sarah. So he found out that they were married. He goes, why didn't you tell me? And then he still blesses him with financial wealth. And so I thank you, Lord, for this. I see God open you up to some wealth. And God showing you his covenant, Gary, like he did with Abraham and Sarah, that wasn't just on that blessing of protection wasn't just on Abraham. It was on his wife and his family. Anything that he owned, anything he had part of, anything that came from him or that he owned, you know, was protected with that protection. And so God's really going to open you guys up to that in a very beautiful way and show you his protection plan and God, especially for Mary. I think God's really going to show Mary in a very special way his protection upon her because of that covenant that God has spoken over you and over your people, over you. And in Jesus' name, yeah. So very, very good. So thank you, Jesus, for that. And I see some extra provision coming in. It's kind of a confirmation to that. The word I just gave you. So I thank you, Jesus, for bringing that in right now in the name of Jesus and open that up. Like Abraham walked out with, you know, pretty blessed. So you're going to walk out blessed with some things. I don't even know what that is, but God's going to open it up and he's going to show you as confirmation of what I'm telling you, what the Lord's saying to you tonight through Randy. Amen. Get ready for that provision. Amen. All right. Okay. Amen. They said they receive it. Yay. Good deal. Thank you so much. All right. Let's go here and okay, hang on a second. Okay, hang on a minute. Mm-hmm.
Here is this. Oh, okay. Okay. Hang on a minute. Shakita. Okay, give me just a moment here. Okay. Okay, give me a second here as I catch up. Wait a minute. Okay. Okay. Thank you for that. All right, if people give during the show, I always try to go back and get it on here. Okay, thank you. All right, Shakita, $10. Thank you, Shakita, for that. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for an awareness, Shakita, of the grace of God in you. And God's given you a lot of grace. And sometimes you forget about it and you try to, figure out if his grace is on you in the way that you see with other people. Like his favor in your life. I just see God wanting to show you that he favors you, not because you do everything perfect, because you're his daughter. It just simply is that. And I know that, you know, we want to do everything right, we want to be perfect, we want to do all those things. Of course we do. But Shakita, God's going to show, he wanted to show you that you're his child, and he is favoring you because he favors you. And that he wants to just say, he wants to be your friend. He wants to talk to you. He wants to tell you things. And he cares about your pain. He cares about your sorrow. He cares about what you struggle with. He cares about you, the friends you have and the fellowship that you need and being able to find somebody you can talk to. Listen, God couldn't wait until when he found somebody like Moses who would listen to him. He talked for hours, for days. He talked for 40 days and 40 nights. That's how much God loves to communicate with people. And your communication with people and your need for that, God understands and he knows all that because he's the same way. He loves to communicate. He loves to share his heart. He loves to talk. You know where you got that from? God gave that to you because that's a God thing. We saw that tonight in the teaching with Moses. If you missed that, go back and listen to the teaching tonight, the revelations, the prophetic revelation we got into in the beginning of the show. And I think God's going to show you something there. So he's going to bless you and open you up and show you the favor, the grace that's in your life, the favor that's in your life, simply because you're his child. If you were his child, he would favor you to get born again. But once you're born again, he favors you just because you're his. That's it. And God wants you to see that it's not about all the things you do perfect. It's not about all that. It's about the fact that he loves you and that you're his. If you weren't his, it would be different. But you're his. You belong to him. You're his blood. Yeah. And he wants you to see that in a way you've never seen before. So get ready for God to show you his favor towards you. In a way that you've never seen before, just blessing you. What did I? You try to, God bless you, and you go, what did I do to? Okay, what did I do to deserve that? That was amazing. Thank you, Jesus. What did I do? See, what did I do? Let me think. What did I do? I can't really think of a whole lot that I could have done for that. That was amazing. Well, I've done some stuff. I've served God and all that, but not that. Like, where'd that come from? And God says, yeah, I just did it because I wanted to. Let me tell you something, Shakita. It's not anything you did or didn't do. I just wanted to show you I favor you. Period. Open that up for her heart, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Paulette, $20. Thank you, Paulette. Thank you, Lord, for Paulette. We just thank you, Jesus, for her life. God, we thank you for her love for you. We thank you for her service to you. Thank you, Lord, that you, Paulette, that you are a servant, that you get a great amount of joy out of serving. And that's why God's going to make you great. That's why the greatness of God is in you, Paulette, because you want to serve. You want to make people, you like to see the smile on people's face when they find something that they like, or they get something that they like, or they have something that something comes up and works out the way it's supposed to, and they feel like somebody cares about me,
you love to see the look on their face when they see that somebody cares and somebody likes somebody, and they see that somehow God's favoring them somehow or another, and they're like, and that look on their face, and you love to be a part of that. That's what being the servant, that's the servant that you are. That's what God has made you, Paulette. He made you to bring pleasure to people because it's his pleasure that you're bringing them. And when you see that pleasure in their eyes and their heart, you like go, oh, wow, yeah, I got to have some more of that. I got to have some more of that. You love drinking that stuff. That's the drink you like to drink. Yeah, is watching people just go, I think somebody loves me. I mean, they really do. I think somebody cares about me. I think somebody is watching over me. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Paulette. Pacero con foce. Be blessed forever. May it be sealed upon you forever in Jesus' name as a servant of the Lord who likes to bring pleasure, the pleasure seeker, the pleasure seeker. They're going to call you the pleasure seeker. But the pleasure seeker that you are is the kind of pleasure that brings pleasure because of love and friendship and knowing that you're somebody's watching over you, that feeling, that emotion, that making somebody feel good. Oh, I feel good. Yeah, that. Yeah. Amen. Restoring people's hope in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless Paulette, God. Bless her money. Bless her hope realm. Bless her financial realm, God. Increase and multiply her in Jesus' name. And never let her forget that you are always with her to love her and love the servant's heart you've given her, God. And because you've given her that heart, you're going to make her great because of that, God, in Jesus' name. Yeah, amen. Make Paulette great again. And I can make America great again. Yeah. Make Paulette great again, like that great in the image, like, you know, greater and greater from glory to glory, glory, from glory to glory, right, all the way to the top without any lack, without anything missing, in Jesus' name. All things complete, Paulette. Amen. Angela Joy. My friend Angela Joy, $20 building fund. Thank you, Angela Joy. God bless you. In Jesus' name, I just see, you know, I'm seeing a freedom, the freedom of the Spirit of God, the freedom of the Spirit of God, and wanting to be free, wanting to be free. I see God freeing you up financially. I see God freeing you up, in a lot of different ways where you're just free, you know, and not just barely free, but free. And God freeing you up so you can function, so you can just do whatever you want to do. Because you've entered into the desire realm, Angela Joy, the desire realm is doing whatever you want. Well, when whatever you want is what God wants, then how free do you think he wants you to be in that? Completely free. Because we need, like the two witnesses, you know, they're going to, whatsoever things they desire, they what they desired was what God desired. That's why what they desired was God, and God did it, and it happened because they were desiring what God desired. You know, when the powerfulness of that desire realm is unbelievable, unbelievable. So when God has something like that, he wants them to be totally free to desire all the desire that they want to desire everywhere and spill it out everywhere. In Jesus' name, open it up and spill it out, spill it over in the name of Jesus. Amen. Sometimes God's going to bless us in ways that we can't comprehend, and I see God doing that. God's going to bless you. He's going to kind of hit you upside the head in the most beautiful way. You're going to be like, oh, my God, I didn't see that coming. Yeah, God's going to give you that I didn't see that coming thing. That happens to me once in a while, man. I go, oh, my God, thank you, Jesus. He didn't want you. It's like a surprise. Like, God wants to surprise us sometimes. You know, like bringing, like you know, I don't know, your ex-husband, your husband, whatever yet. Once in a while, they'd sneak you some flowers, and without anything, without any particular birthday or no nothing going on, just bring, just surprise you, and that's what I see God, you know, just doing that with you in Jesus' name. Open it up for her, Father, right now by the power of God. All right, Nikki and Charles, $30 building fund. Thank you, Nikki and Charles, for that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for sufficiency. And open her up to your sufficiency, God. And that's the building fund, too. I think it's the building fund. To your sufficiencies, God. You're going to show her, God, that your sufficiency, God's showing you how to live like Paul the Apostle said, you know, it's a thorn in the flesh. So he gave Paul a thorn in the flesh so he wouldn't get the big head, number one, because he had so much information. He had so much treasure from heaven. God had to protect him from himself, right? I don't know. You have to have a lot from God to do that, I think, but he did. And so the thorn in the flesh to cause him to depend on God's provision. Like he said, my grace is sufficient for you. Like God calling you and showing you how to live off of his grace, off of his grace. So God is bringing you to the realm of grace through the thorn in the flesh type of a situation, bringing you into the realms of grace. Because when Paul walked in the realms of grace, Nikki, he walked in the realm of revelation, an unlimited power of God's insight and revelation to the things of God. Amen. And he came up with stuff that nobody ever came up with. I mean, he got these things that nobody got. I mean, he was in a zone that nobody, there was nobody in the zone like he was in a zone. And it came through that God giving him a thorn to teach him to depend on grace. And grace would become his sufficiency, his total dependent on grace, unmerited, undeserved favor. Yeah. And it brought him into a place of learning things about the Father that nobody else was getting, man. I mean, they thought he was crazy sometimes. He got so much revelation. I mean, he had so much stuff. And God's opening up his treasures to you. And so that those thorns in the flesh, that's what they do. It's a weird thing, but that's what happens. It's actually a gift. All right, y'all make sure and drink your water. Drink your mind. All right, Charles, thank you, Lord, for Charles, God. I thank you, Lord, for breaking bread, teaching him how to break bread. Teach him how to break bread, God. In the name of Jesus, breaking bread. Like God's going to show you all the different ways to break bread. You break bread by grabbing people and hugging them like you always do, showing them daddy's love. You break bread by words of knowledge and the gifts of the Spirit. That's another way you break bread. You break bread by preaching the word, by parabolizing the word of God. That's breaking bread. There's different levels of breaking bread that take on different characteristics of breaking bread or revealing Christ to people in a way that they can grasp it. Breaking bread means it's done in a way that they can grasp it. Or they can go, wow, that was awesome. Oh, I got that. Oh, wow. Yeah, when you talk about Jesus, you talk about Jesus in a way that I can get it. That's breaking bread. So thank you, Lord, for that breaking bread in my brother in Jesus' name. And bless him and reward him for that, Father, in Jesus' name. All right, Mike, $30. Mike and Veronica from the beautiful city of Colorado. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for Mike, God. I thank you for the message you've given him for years about the bride of Christ. I thank God you gave him that message because that's the end time message. That's the message of the bride of Christ, that the bride really is going to rule and reign with Christ because they are connected, not just spiritually, but in every fashion, connected in every fashion. And I thank you, Lord, for the message you've given him with that. I thank you, Lord, for breathing that, refreshing that, and giving him new revelation on that, and how that fits into right now, what's going on, where God's taking it, where God's taking our government, how the church is going to rule and reign with Christ. So what is the church going to do? The church is going to rule and reign with Christ. And so when you realize that the church is going to rule and reign with Christ, that's really has a lot to do with what we're entering into now. And so that's why God's opening it up to you, because that's actually it's like a prophetic message for now. It's like it's kind of like a now word as far as in reality. And so God opening that up to you and showing that to you so that you can really identify with, you know, the end times and with what God's doing with the church and how that the bride is so beautifully, wonderfully close to her Lord and her husband and her the bride and the bridegroom and the communion that they have and the fellow and the love that they have for that Christ would lay his life down for the church. So when the church starts being whooped up on by the world, by the devil, Christ comes to take care of business. He'll whoop up on them. It's like you see with the Father, when God Almighty with Moses saying, hold me back. Don't hold me. He's the exorcist. Don't hold me back. Don't hold me back. You know, Moses, don't hold me back now. Don't hold me back. You know, it's like, that's what Jesus says. Okay. Tells the bride, don't try to hold me back. I'm going to whoop over these people trying to hurt you. You know, I'm going to take care of them. And eventually he does. And he literally does, Mike. He actually comes back in Armageddon. And by the sword of his mouth, he destroys the kings and all the armies, destroys them with the word. So you see that really is not just some little game Moses and God are playing. I mean, he really, when he gets upset, he's like, really, I'm going to whack them suckers, man. They're messing with my baby. Yeah. You see that with Moses and God. I mean, he's like, I'm going to kill them all. It's not even funny, but it's funny. It's like, and it's crazy. God is just like, you know, like Moses told God, he said, you're going to have to repent of that evil, God. And God goes, doggone it. I told you not to say that. Okay. I'm sorry. I just love that, man. I just love that stuff. It's just, I don't know. That's really making me think that, you know, oh, my God. I want that more and more all the time. I want that. Amen. And that's what the bride of Christ and all that, really what it's really what it's all about. It's fellowship of ruling and reigning. The church is going to rule the earth, man. When Christ comes back, you know, the church is going to rule the earth, not the government. We got it backwards. The governments of the world. Well, the government is supposed to be the government. It's supposed to be God, supposed to be the government, right? Not a godless government. One that has a relationship with Jesus, an intimate marriage relationship with Jesus. So we thank you, Lord, for Veronica and Mike. God, bring them into that. Let them walk in that. Let them find their thing together on that, Jesus. Or they walk in that together and walk in the beauty of that. Or they can flow as a team in that situation and the beauty of that. Amen and amen and amen. Bless their money. Bless their finances. Bless open up doors for them, God. And increase them and multiply them in Jesus' name. All right, Nicole, $33.03. So sorry about the puppy thing. Oh my gosh, I thought about that like off and on during the day. Like, you know, I don't know why exactly, but because you know why? Because God started using that to speak to me. Yeah, Nicole, God used that to start speaking to me about when things don't fit. You know, when they don't work. When it's just heartrending. And when something gets in our life that is not God, you know, not that a dog's not of God, but if that particular dog is not for you or that particular situation is not for us, what it does to us, we start losing sleep, we start, you know, it wears us out. You know, what a perfect example of things that God has not, when God has not fitted something to our life, if it doesn't fit us, we're always having to mess with it. So we're always having to straighten it out, fix it up, make it look better. But when it fits us, it's just like it just fits there and it just goes, it just works, it just happens. There's no labor, there's no working on it. It just fits. God really showing me that thing about, you know, to wake up to that, to realize how powerful that is really exactly the way that God wants us to be aware of and be sensitive to that. And that's how devastating it is when things don't fit. Amen? And so God really used that, girl, to just like, I'm like, oh, my gosh. And this is what I was trying to prophesy to you, to tell you that this is something God's really awakening you to in Jesus' name. And, yeah, so I ask you to bless her with that, Jesus. Let her break bread with that situation. And the pain of having to take something back, you know, and having the, you know, the pain of that, the struggle, the battle with all that whole thing. I mean, I just saw that as like, what a revelation from heaven. Oh my gosh. You know, when something doesn't fit, it's like you got to, you know, your whole life stops and you got to go back,
And, yeah, take it back. Wow. So thank you, Jesus, for that. Thanks for opening it up in Jesus' name and feeding her compassion, God. Let your compassion just flow all over Nicole, God. Let your compassion pour into her soul, pour into her spirit, pour into her body. Strengthen her, God. God is awakening you, Nicole, to things that don't fit and what they do to us. Yeah, amazing. It's amazing. Opens up a whole other realm of uneasiness and, you know, like, wow. And even though it necessarily isn't always, the puppy's not a demon, right? The puppy's not a bad thing. A puppy's a God-given, beautiful little, like a child, in a sense. But if that particular thing, situation doesn't fit, then, you know, it becomes something that the enemy uses to mess with us. And how important it is to get into what fits us. Amen. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Wow, very, very, very cool. So God, let a new realm of compassion be in her life, God, for those who are living the realm where things don't fit. And so she'll understand what to tell them, how to share with them what's going on. And sometimes you have to just take things back. Yeah, you just have to take things back. And go, I'm sorry, I mean, here you go. And just, you know, suffer along with it for a while until it gets all gets turned around. Yeah, it's a real something to think about. Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. All right, Sandra, $40 building fund. Sandra, thank you, Lord, for Sandra, God. I thank you, Lord, for the message of the kingdom of God. I thank you, Lord, for giving Sandra that I see you shouting from the mountaintops, shouting like crying in the wilderness type thing, or shouting from the mountaintops or something, the message of the kingdom, to waking an awakening of God's people to the message of the kingdom and what it really means. It's not what people think it is. It's really what it really means. It's really setting up the kingdom and the where we don't vote for our king. Our king is king because God Almighty said. When a word comes from God, we don't vote on whether we're going to receive the word from God. We're trying to find it so we can agree with it, right? So we can, like, okay, we don't vote on it. And so this whole thing about, you know, when God says something, when God's going to do something, even if we don't agree with it, because there is no voting with God's stuff. So this whole thing about the kingdom of God and the way our democracy is, the kingdoms that we have, you know, with that Christ is trying to move us into a place where, you know, what he says is what goes, period. There's no voting on it. We have to find ourselves getting in alignment, and God's showing you how to get in. I see an anointing to move you into a place of aligning yourself with God so quick and so easy, so sure and so fast, so strong. That the devil can't rattle you, can't move you out of it, no matter what the influence is. Sometimes God's going to set it up to where, like with Job, was sometimes, even though Job had his wife there with him, and she loved God just like he did, but she just lost all of her family, right? Those children that got killed, those were her children, not just his, but hers too. And she was suffering. But the reason God allowed Job to, really Job was alone, even though he had his wife and his family, and his wife was still with him, but he ended up having to be alone. His friends accused him of all these things. His wife, you know, basically had so much pain and heartache that she couldn't feel him anymore. You know, it was like she could no longer, you know, she was trying to heal herself, and she couldn't even help Job anymore. So Job was all alone, and yet, you know, it's not that they didn't love each other, that kind of thing, but he was because God wanted Job to be alone. Because God was bringing him to a whole other level with him, a whole new place with him. Amen. This one doesn't, being alone with God is, you know, where God wants us, because he does the work in us in that season, that time, like nothing else that does. So, Lord, I thank you for blessing her, for awakening her, God, for that awakening in her to awake people, you know, because when it comes down to it, nobody makes a decision for God but us. In that sense, we are always alone. Nobody ever makes a decision between God and us but us. We don't come through anybody. We don't come through a priest. We don't come through a husband, a wife, children. We put God is first, always will be first. Amen. And then because we do that, he gives us a love that is full of passion for our husbands, our wives, our families, our children, that is unspeakable, full of glory. So thank you, Lord, for satisfying her, fulfilling her, Jesus, and her getting alone with you in a sense. Christ, when he walked on the earth, was alone. Even though he was surrounded with people all the time, he was alone because he was the only one that understood the Father like he did. In that sense, he was alone. And then Joseph was alone. His brothers rejected him. He got separated from his father. God wanted him to be alone for a season to teach him some things that he could learn no other way. And that beauty of totally depending on God, that fellowship with God, that now I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, you know. Yeah. Amen. The beauty of that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, LaShun, $40. Thank you, LaShun. We just bless you, LaShun, in Jesus' name. Thank you for being a servant of God. Thank you for the pleasure you bring the Lord. Thank you for the way that you lean on his breast, that you lean on his breast and just your friendship with Jesus, your love around with Jesus, where you lean on him like John the Revelator did, and God wanting to open you up to revelation like he did John because of John's love for God and God's love for John. He didn't get killed. Let's see, did I forget somebody? I think I forgot somebody. I did. Let's go here in a second. Okay, there you go. All right. Yeah, LaShun. So that thing of hang on a second here. Jesus. Yeah, so thank you, Lord, for that love that John had for Jesus and Jesus had for John. It was a different kind of love than all the rest of them. I don't know why exactly, but because of that, you know, all the rest of them died martyrs, but he didn't. So there was something about that fellowship, that relationship that brought him to a place of revelation where John didn't die that rest, like the rest of them. So there was just something different about it. So I don't know what that means exactly, but and God's going to open you up to that and show you that how you unashamedly lean on the breast of Jesus, to trust him, to believe him, and to know him, and to depend on him. And, and because of that, he says, feed my sheep, in Jesus' name, feed my sheep. All right. Regina, $20. Lord, we thank for Regina tonight. We thank you, Lord, for her life, God. We thank you, Father, for her family. We just bless her tonight, Jesus. We thank you, God, that the favor of God, that God is plugging you back into that realm of favor and manifest favor, where you see that favor coming to you from strangers. It's like a stranger's kind of favor thing with God, favor with people like even your enemies, people you don't know. It's not necessarily people that are around you, but people that you don't know, people that you're unfamiliar with. Like I see the favor of God being poured out through you in that way. In Jesus' name, people that you're not seeking favor for, people you're not, you know, people you don't even need favor from, that God's showing you his favor in your life and showing you the broad spectrum of that favor, how it comes not just from people that we kind of like, oh, they're going to give me favor because I know them. They're my loved ones or my friends. No, people that, so God, when he shows it to you, he shows it to you in ways that is something that you don't deserve. You know what I mean? Like you haven't been able to develop a relationship, so how can I give you favor? It's not like something you do good for your family, your family does good to you. It's a kind of thing where you haven't been able to do good anything to these people or any kind of favor for these people, but they're going to give you favor. It's God showing you his favor and grace in Jesus' name. Open that up, God, in Jesus' name, and nurture her and feed her that favor from God. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down. Good measure, Regina. God's showing you how to give the good measure. The good measure. When you enter into the good measure realm, instead of whatever I can get by with, that kind of what a lot of people do, they try to do what they can get by with. That the good measure, you do it to honor God. You do it because you want to, and you do it in a good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Are men going to give into your bosom? In Jesus' name, that favor, Regina, that's what I see. Clear as a bell. So thank you, Jesus, for that. All right. So let's go here in a second. Okay. All right. Hang on a second. All right. Are y'all, give me just a moment here. Okay. There you go. All right. Okay. Okay. All right. Yes. Okay. Okay, I'm going here. Okay, give me a second. All right. Wow, thank you, Jesus. Where am I at here? Was Regina? Noel? Okay, Noel. God bless you, Randy. Thank you for being a rock. All right, there's so many. Noel in California. God bless you. Building fund. Building fund for Noel. Building fund. $50. Thank you, Noel, for that. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for I see just a real thankfulness rising up within you. We can be thankful through a lot of things, but sometimes things just hit you so hard that we try to be thankful anyway in the midst of all of it. We don't have to be thankful for it, but being thankful in it. And being thankful in it means you know God is with you in it. You're walking through a valley, but you don't fear evil. You don't fear that thing can stop you or destroy you or mess with you. You don't fear that. So in other words, if somebody means evil, but Satan meant for evil, like Joseph said, God meant it for good. So the reason that Joseph was able to walk in that realm is because he walked in the valley. He knew that the God was with him. God showed him, I'm with you. You don't have to fear the evil that Satan uses people to do. You can forgive them. You can forgive your brothers. Because what God showed him was that, showed him that God was with him. God was with him. Fear no evil, for I am with you. He showed him that his brothers were being used by him the whole time. Oh, you talk about crazy. What Satan meant for evil, God was meaning it for good. And so, therefore, he never feared. He was able to forgive them because he said, brothers, I'm not going to kill you. I mean, it was such a horrible thing that they thought he was going to kill them. I mean, they killed people back then for stuff like that, you know? I mean, he was running Egypt. He could have done anything he wanted to. And everybody knew, I think, that his brothers had done that to him. I think it wasn't a hidden thing. And so here they came, and here he was, like, you know, wow, man, I could kill you, you know? I could really kill you. You would deserve it, what you did. And then lied to my father that an animal ate me. It was all a bunch of lies. It was a big, fat, conspiratory lie. And yet God showed him that he was with him even in that. And even in that, and gave him a thankfulness that though Satan did it for evil, God meant it for good. Well, God, I don't know what's going on. I think the second time I've kind of mentioned that word about that, Noel, but there's something going on with that. That's like double confirmation to me. And I don't give the same words twice often. Sometimes I find myself repeating the word, and I'm thinking, well, what's up with that? I think I've given that word before. Because it's God, even through me, confirming it, you know, saying, you know, I'm doing something with this. And the prayer we prayed over you the other night about blessing those who, you know, speaking prosperity over them. So So there's something happening with this. It's like God is going to turn this into a jewel, going to turn it into a jewel. Yes, it's painful. Yes, it's hard. No, it's nothing to be thankful for. Be thankful. It only comes from knowing that what Satan meant for evil, and looking at it as not the people, but Satan thinking they're doing you a favor. Doing you a favor. That's when they killed Jesus, they thought they were doing God a favor. Yeah, because he was supposed to be a blasphemer and all that. Yeah. Because they couldn't see they were blind. So God was able to take that thing that was meant for evil, literally meant to destroy and get rid of him because he was a favored child, to get rid of him. And yet God meant the whole thing to get him into the will of God. So I thank you, Jesus, that in the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. Why? Because you're showing us that you're with us even when it's meant for evil through people. Satan's doing that, and God's turning it for good in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open that up for her, God, in new realms and new ways that she's never known before, never seen before, and let the spirit of grace be upon her in Jesus' name in ways that confound the wise and make new paths for new paths of righteousness to walk in. New paths to walk in. That's what I keep hearing. New paths. It's like God's opening up new paths for you to walk in that you would have never walked in had it not been for this. I mean, that's how you're going to see it. And it's hard. It's definitely hard to look at it like that now because, you know, we're not seeing that yet necessarily, but that's definitely what's going on. And, you know, and as God gives you the revelation, in that revelation, it will make you thankful. You know, until then, sorry, what are you going to be thankful for? That's a mess, man. I'm going to be thankful for that. We don't have to be thankful for the thing, but thankful for anything because God showed us. All right. Amen. Andrika, $30. $30 trained over. She gave $30 and then $30 for her business, ESW Auto Sale. Thank you, Jesus, for Andrika, God. We thank you for the superpower of the Holy Spirit for showing her how to claim and decree and declare the bloodline of Christ over her family, that she has a covenant with God. When you got a covenant with God, that means you're cutting blood with him. Cutting blood. Cutting blood. What does cutting blood mean? It means cutting DNA. It means, you know, getting in with becoming kinfolk, becoming one with the one who's perfect, who has never sinned, who has, you know, never failed. And so I see this thing with you entering into a place where, you know, you never fail. You never fail. You never come short. In Jesus' name. And, you know, it's not that it's not going to look like it sometimes, but just like Joseph looked like he came up short. You know, God gave him a big dream, and then all of a sudden it didn't come to pass, but then it came to pass in a whole different way than what he thought. So God, you know, did it in Jesus' name. Sometimes it looks like we're going down. Jesus was being crucified. It looks like he had been, finally, they got him. But little did they realize that God had set all that up, and that something brand new is about to be released. So I thank you, Jesus, for that. And for the never-failing God realm with Andrika and her God, and the never-failing God. God's going to start showing you how, even though sometimes it looks like something failed or he failed, but he's going to show you that I didn't fail because I'm working something. I'm doing something. Amen. And you're going to see God as the never-failing God. I'll never leave you nor fail you nor forsake you. In Jesus' name, that I'm always with you. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. God, we just bless Chris. God, we thank you, Lord, for giving him land and property and homes and those things, God. In Jesus' name, increase him and multiply him, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, for the money realm, to bless him in the money realm. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Give him a passion for success in a way he's never seen before. In Jesus' name, amen. Tyreek, Lord, we pray for Tyreek. God, we thank you for the success on Tyreek and Torrey. I just speak success over Tyreek and Torrey, God, the spirit of success in their life. And people will be successful in different ways at different levels, but they're still successful. And I thank you, Lord, that Andrika's family is going to be successful in Jesus' name. And I declare and decree it, and I speak it in Jesus' name. Successes, ESW Auto Sales, a success. A blessing, a success, like wealth, like blessing, like riches, like glory, like God's favor, in Jesus' name, like the turning of the tide. Amen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let it be done right now by the name of Jesus. All right, Karen, $100. Thank you, Lord, for Karen. And Jesus' name. Let's go here. Thank you, Lord, for Karen. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. If you've given later in the show, I may, if I've already prayed for you, I'll probably pray over it a little bit later here. But just hang on as we do this stuff, okay? All right, Karen, $100. Thank you, Karen, for the $100. We thank you, Jesus, for the prayer request. In Jesus' name, I heard your prayer request, and I just declared that and decreed that in the Spirit in Jesus' name. Let that be done for my sister, God, that $100. We thank you, Lord, for prospering her. We thank you, Jesus, for changing and arranging the things that have tried to change on her, to change them back in her favor. In Jesus' name, change those things that have been rearranged. Change them back to her favor, into her favor. In Jesus' name, the favor, change them back into her favor. Karen, the favored, in Jesus' name. Loosen her favor, the favoring of God. Amen. God's going to put flavor to your favor, favor to your flavors, or flavor to your favor, however you want to say. I don't know what that is, but in Jesus' name, hallelujah, flavors to your favor, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. God's going to put you in a place, Karen, where you're going to be able to do favors for people that you've always wanted to do favors for them, to help them, to secure them, to bless them, to pay things off for them, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let success and blessing be in Karen's life, Father. 100-fold. I declare 100-fold blessing in the name of Jesus. Tu sheperiko ofu ucheka ma pare ente uka. In the spirit of deliverance, God, to deliver her, to deliver your people, God, in the name of Jesus, I speak the mighty deliverance of God, bringing them out and taking them in. Not just one, but both. Not just bringing them out, but taking them in Jesus' name. The completion of the process, let it be done in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Chris, $100. Thank you, Chris, from Texas. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for that. We just bless Chris tonight, God. We thank you for the nothing average. God wants to do above the average, above average, in Jesus' name. And the quality realm, God's moving you into the quality realm. 30, 16, 100-fold is quality. All that is quality realm. The highest level of quality. There's different levels of quality. I think anything below 30-fold is not quality. Like 30-fold is quality. 60-fold is higher quality. 100-fold is the highest quality. And God giving you, success and blessing in 30, 16, 100-fold, where you find yourself, in that quality realm where things are done quality. And in Jesus' name, I see God doing something in your brain, like rearranging your thoughts, like rearrange some things that you have, like he's setting your thoughts in order so that you know how to download things in order, in the order that they belong. And God putting things in order. Like when God puts things in order, that means they function better, they work better. And things end up in your favor because like when Elijah put the altar in order, it set up a relationship with God to where God can bless something. If it's not in order, God can bless it. So everything about order is not just about straightening Satan stuff up. It's about getting things in alignment with God. When they get in alignment with God, in order with God, then God goes, okay, now I can pour my fire down on it. That's why Elijah had to put the altar in order. You read it, it says he put the wood, the rocks, and whatever in order. And the way he did it is the way God wanted him to do it. Therefore, when you do that, then the fire of God falls. And I thank you, Lord, for the fire falling on Chris, God, on his family. In Jesus' name, the fire of God, the blessing of God, the approval of God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Bishe ukoche bawa. And I see you, as you meditate on the Word of God or you think about the Word of God, you're going to find yourself at night, even that your mind is going to be, and your spirit are going to be working through the word, because God's setting things in order, like putting things where they need to be put, put them in order that they need to be done in. And a big thing, like I said, is in your thought realm, in your mind. God's putting your mind in order And once your mind is put in order, what do? He gives you that 30, 60, and 100-fold understanding. When your mind's out of order, it can't understand things. But when God puts it in order, you know, it's already in order to a certain degree, but he's going to bring it to a higher level so you can understand things. Parable about the wheat, the sower, the sowed, and it talks about the whole thing is about understanding, 30, 60, and 100-fold understanding. So he's setting your mind in order to, and I see this meditation, like he told Joshua to meditate on the word. Well, people think they can just sit around and just meditate. They don't even know what that, they really don't know what that is. It was a thing God imparted to him that enabled him that even in his sleep, he said, do it day and night. So day and night, you can't stay awake day and night. Be too tired to go to Jericho, right? Yeah, in the nighttime, his mind, there was a meditation thing that kicked into him, and he was working the word through. When he'd be thinking about something else, the word would be working through him. So it's like a twofold thing going on. He's thinking about one thing, doing something, working on something, and then his mind is working through the meditation of the word of God, and it happening at night. He said for Joshua to meditate in my word, my law, day and night. How do you do it at night? In your sleep. That's what I saw happening. That's how I put all that together. Actually, I never thought about that before. I always thought, how do you do it day and night? I never even thought about it in his sleep till right now, honest to God. In Jesus' name, open that up to my brother in Jesus' name so he can give him understanding, God, wisdom, in the name of Jesus. So we think for Cheryl from Florida. Amen. She says, I want to let's see. Hang on, just give me just a minute here. I don't have it where I can see it. I will account it a privilege. I will count it a privilege to be a part of your ministry. Oh, thank you. Thanks, my brother said. Okay, she said, thanks. My brother said the sinner's prayer with tears and repentance. Oh, my gosh. And told everybody he was saved. That's an unusual thing there, right? That's very unusual that happened like that. Wow, you can tell somebody really gets saved because they tell people about it. That's what happened to me. Yeah. And he was saved after he repented with tears. Wow, that's a beautiful thank you, Jesus, and told everybody that he was saved afterwards. That's amazing, my God. Hallelujah. We rejoice with the angels and rejoice with Cheryl and her brother in Jesus' name, and afterwards, and called each of his family members to tell them. Wow, that is amazing, girl. That's amazing. That is amazing. Congratulations on that. I know you've been praying over that for a long time. I mean, you've been believing God for that, I don't know, for a while since I've known. And, wow. I love it, dude, girl, woman, whatever, in Jesus' name, it's amazing. That is amazing. Thank God. And he's like 67 or 70, you say he's 60s or 70s, something like that. He's on up there a little bit. Wow. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. All right. Pray for Cheryl. I'm telling God to pray for you. Intercede for her in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the intercessor, Jesus, interceding for Cheryl. I thank you for that new intercession anointing. But Jesus is interceding for you, interceding through you, even for you. Wow. Jesus interceding at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding in you, through you, and for you. When you don't know what to praise, you're right, with groanings, right? You intercede to pray that. There's a new intercession anointing being released there in Jesus' name. Now, intercession isn't always just sitting down and praying for people. That too, of course. But sometimes it's just something that goes on in your heart. And when you see something that you don't like or understand, you know, your heart will intercede. You know, it'll just intercede. It's an automatic intercession thing. It goes on 24 hours a day. And sometimes we don't even realize it's going on. Like I talked with Chris about meditating the word day and night, like I told Joshua, I never thought about that being at night in your dreams. Never thought about it before. Yeah, same thing with you. It's like the intercession goes on, even when you're – I know what happens with me. I preach in my sleep, I've been told. Prophesy in my sleep. I do a lot of things in my sleep. That's just because it's going on all the time. And God's showing you that that new intercessory realm, in Jesus' name, of bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. There you go. Bringing in the sheaves. Hey. I love it. All right, Donald and Tanya, $263 building fund. Thank you, Donald and Tanya. God bless you. Congratulations on what God is doing in you and through you. And it's like, I just want to congratulate you. I don't know why exactly, but it's like, I want to say to you, congratulations, you've made it. Like something in you and about, I don't know what's happened lately. I don't know what's going on because I don't, you talk on the show once in a while, but it's like, I want to say congratulations to you. Like you've graduated, like you've joined where two agree as touching something, it shall be done. Like you're walking into the two, it shall be done. With two or more agree, like, I don't know if it's you and Tanya or you and God or all of it or everybody. I'm not sure what that is exactly. But something's happening where two or more are agreeing. It's such a thing. And here's the part that's blessed about that. It shall be done. Into the it shall be done realm, which is the faith realm. Faith, the realm of faith. It shall be done. Increase and multiply. And bless them, God, in Jesus' name. The two shall be one. And yeah, where two or more agree as touching a matter. A matter. And all the matters that I touch, God, in Jesus' name, bless it, God. Let that spirit of blessing in Jesus' name and of agreement. Amen. There's something happening. Man, I don't know. You know, you can tell me what it is later or whatever. You don't have to. I don't really have to know. But something's going on because the last few times I prayed over you about some of this stuff, like something's gone on. It's really something's, yeah, the double for your trouble increased. Think about double for your trouble, Terrence and Tanisha, the TNT, the dynamite people. In Jesus' name, just kind of blow up. Just let it blow up. Just let things, just let this thing explode and blow. Not blow up, tear up, but blow up, like grow up, like grow, like multiply and increase. In Jesus' name, and may their revelation grow up and blow up. May their revelation, Terrence and Tanisha's revelation, And I see God giving you both different kinds of revelation and it fitting together like the wheels of a clock. You know, the old clock with the wheels that, you know, click, 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 and each one turns a different, you know, one turns the hour, one turns the minute, one turns the second or whatever it's called. Yeah, I see that like the revelations God gives you joined, like two or more, when you're joined together, the revelations that you get joining together, creating a thing with time, creating a thing with making things work, the works realm, in Jesus' name, God is opening up the works realm, like the works of Christ, like the works of God. This is for both of you, of course. I see, because what I keep seeing is like the clock, the wheels of a clock. When they turn together, and they all turn. They're all in unison. They're all doing, but they're all, you know, doing different things, but all representing like a clock, telling the time, the signs of the times, and God giving you the signs of the time. You're into the signs, the signs realm of the times realm is our signs. You're going to start seeing God give you more and more and more signs, more and more and more signs. They're going to come through other people, they'll come to you, they'll come from each other, they'll come from, you know, just whatever. Signs, plural, signs of the times. Yeah, because the clock representing the sign, the time, and the clicking away of time, and each moment, each second matters. And the revelations you get, you guys get together through life, through stuff, that you grow together and mesh together and melt together, that it's like that clock with the many different wheels. And it's about time, the signs of the time. Like God's going to give you literally times and numbers. Like time has to do with numbers. Like it's 11:30, 1 a.m., it's 2:45, you know, that kind of thing. It's like the signs of the times, like the turning of the tide. Yeah. Wow, I never seen that before ever. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And you say pray for Kenya. Okay, we're praying for Kenya. In Jesus' name, we thank you for Kenya, God. We thank you, God, that you're bringing people back to their heart. What do I really think for myself? What do I really, what is God really putting? What am I really thinking? What do I really want? Not what everybody else is thinking, telling me that I want or don't want, but what is it that I really want? What is really in my heart, So sometimes we have to get set apart, get lonely, get by ourselves, and then we start finding out what's in our heart. And then we become strong in what's in our heart. And Kenya, finding the heart of Kenya, the Kenya heart or something like that. I'm sure. And thank you, Jesus, for opening up that realm of God what's Kenya's heart, God given, put in Kenya's heart, that it's not what man has made Kenya to do or be, or people have made it to be or told it to be or whatever, the people's purposes or what people want, but what God wants for Kenya. In Jesus' name, you're going to bring back Kenya to Kenya's origin, in Jesus' name, to what's coming from the heart, and what it's been made to do, what it's created to do, its origin, Kenya's origin, in Jesus' name, bringing Kenya back to that, and thinking, you know, like, being able to think, you know, only the will of God and the purposes of God and not what man says or does. In Jesus' name, we break every string attached to Kenya, in Jesus' name, every manipulation, everything, in Jesus' name, we break it all off. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for the origin of which Kenya was made to function. Let it be done in Jesus' name. And let Terrence and Tanisha minister to that and be a part of that and call and their calling to put that together some another and complete the process of the heart of God for Kenya, in Kenya or something, the origins. I don't know what I'm talking about. But in Jesus' name, let it be done in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. To bring great satisfaction and favor in Jesus' name and purpose, Lord. I wish I could show you guys the thing I saw about the clock and the interworking. Like God's been putting together the inner, like he's been, each little clock wheel has to be set in the right place. So all that has been being set in place. And now it's like taking off and it's ticking. And they're intertwining and, you know, I don't even understand what I'm seeing, but it's like things have begun. Like timing has begun. The times, the signs of the times have begun. Yeah. Amen. Whatever that is. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you for that 165 from Terrence, 195 from Tanisha. And the building fund for that, and then $26, and then the dollar for Kenya. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. I see praises. I hear praises. I hear deep praises of groanings and travail and like worship in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It's coming out of my spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Hang on a second here. Did I pay Romaine Jula? I don't think I paid Romaine Jula, did I? Did I already pay Romaine Jula? I didn't, Romaine Jula. Okay, Romaine Jula, hang on a second. I'm going to get you here. Who was that? In a minute. Okay, give me a second here. Something got messed up. Okay, there we go. Yeah, I got it. Okay, let me check. Hang on just a second here, please. Let me double check some things. Just make sure this is right. How much goes on during the show? Which will be cool, though. Okay, one more time. Let's check this. Okay, what is this? Okay. Okay. All right. Trying to get going here. Okay, well, I think we got it going on now. All right, that was Don Hunter, Terrence D-Shirt. We got Jeannie from Texas, $830 building fund. Wow, Jeannie, that's like $1,660 for the building fund right there. Just that one whack. Cool. $830 building fund. Thank you, Jeannie, for that. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the completion of all things. God, that you enter to a finishing realm, where God shows you the finishing, how to finish things. It's like, you know, we can't really finish things without God showing it, because we just like we start things with God, we have to finish things with God. And the finishing is the thing that makes the Father happiest, because everybody can start something, but finishing it. And I think you've talked about that before, but I'm just getting it in my spirit strong. Like, you're moving into a realm of finishing things, like giving you courage. Sometimes it takes just raw courage from God to finish something. Because we get, you know, there's so many things that go on in a process of something that we think, you know, is it really even worth spending the time finishing it? You know, is it really worth it? But he that labors with the Lord, you know, that labor becomes a very powerful. And, okay, give me a second. So the labor, it's a labor thing and the works thing. So what God's working on, Jeannie, is the works and the labor thing, where the works of Christ, he said what made the Father happy is that he finished the works. And so God's really showing you how to do that, because that's what most people fail, is in finishing. Jesus finishing the work of the cross was hard, because the hardest part was at the end. It was easy to be born. It's easy to, you know, whatever. The temptation and struggles he went through weren't easy, but the finishing was the hardest part, because that's where he was suffering the most. That's where he gave his life. That's where he really, you know, became, you know, he suffered the most and took the most strength and took the most courage. And so, but finishing it is what paid for it. So I see you entering into a payment realm of God showing you how things are paid for, is by finishing. You know, like when I used to do construction work, I didn't get paid till I finished, right? When I finished, then I got paid. You get paid a little bit along the way, you know, for materials and that kind of thing, but finishing was the thing that, okay, I'm going to pay till you finish, and they'd walk through, make sure everything's done. Okay, it's final. You finished everything. Here's your payment. So I see the realm of payment coming to you because of your desire to finish things, and you're going to find out that a lot of the payment realm itself is about finishing things. So you may finish some little project with God. He tells you to do something with somebody or something, you do it. When you finish that, it may seem little to you, but he will reward you for that or pay you for that. The Bible says, come and buy gold with me tried in the fire. And people say, well, you can't buy from God. I say it all the time, you can't buy from God, but you can. The Bible says, come buy from me gold tried in the fire. You who have no money, you have no coming back from me. So it's not about money, right? It's about doing the works of Christ. The works of Christ is not just healing and miracles. The works of Christ is just simply doing. If he just tells you to go help somebody, go do something, you know, to finish it, because it's you don't get paid until you finish, right? So it's like, so you're not looking for that person to pay you that you help and do something with, whatever. But it's the Lord says, okay, let's check it out. Let's make sure you did it right. Yeah, okay, Jesus. Okay, you did. You finished up. You shed the blood all the way you need to shed the blood. Okay, you finished it, man. The reward for you, right. And Jesus got, you know, the greatest reward of all. And so the same thing, the payment comes with finishing. So I thank you, Jesus, for that. And, Lord, I thank you for the whole payment realm, the realm of, you know, it's finished. Paid for. Remember, we talk about a lot, Jeannie, about that. People have thought about this for years. And when Jesus said it was finished, he was saying it was paid for. It's finishing it meant pain. I never even saw this until tonight. It's the first time I've ever seen this. I've never known this or seen this, Jeannie. I promise to God, I know you believe me, but it's like I have a hard time believing it myself. But So, wow, I just realized that. I just saw that. Oh, my gosh, that is so amazing. When he said it is finished, he was saying it's paid for. And literally, as we know, that's when it was paid for. Wow, my God. Woo, Jesus, get a hold of that, girl. That's like some amazing revelation. Amazing revelation. Amazing revelation. Oh, I mean, Jesus got paid all along the way with a lot of rewards like we do on it. Like I would get on a construction job. They didn't have to pay you to, you know, pay your crew and pay for materials along, get the heavy materials. But the big finishing payment is not until it's all done and they gone through and checked it all out and make sure it's all right and approved of, you know, and it's done. So you can walk off and go, don't have to ever go back to that because it's done. And then the big check comes in. So there's something about that, girl. Ooh, my God. I just got a revelation. Oh, my. I got to write that down. That's so powerful. I got to write that down. Hang on a second. Hang on a minute. Ay. Give me just a second here, y'all. I do not want to forget this stuff. Wow. All right, hang on a second. Got to write it down. I do not want to forget that. That is so amazing. Hang on a second. Man, that's just, wow. That blows my mind. That one blows my little mind. For sure. Wow, Jeannie, the payment thing on that. And you just were talking recently about the finishing thing. God's showing you about the finishing thing and how important it is. Yeah, I think that has to do with, you know, and then I just got revelation off of that. Wow, and the payment is not released until it's finished. Whoa. So every job we do for the Lord, paid a little bit along the way, and then, you know, and then the finishing is finished, payment. Wow, so get ready for a payment. Get ready for a payment. My God, okay. Dear Jesus, that's like, wow, amazing. All right, Mike gave another $15. Thank you, Mike. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for favor with his enemies. Those who try to be enemies, those who try to make enemies, those who try to make enemies and be enemies, God, that you will disarm the enemy part and bring that you give Mike favor with his enemies, that they will be his, even his friends will reward him, even his enemies will reward him, and even his enemies will be his friends in Jesus' name. So those enemy situations, sometimes, you know, even our loved ones can be an enemy to us for whatever reason, just different reasons, just things happen. And then God just, you know, shows us how to break that and connect in Jesus' name. So Lord, I thank you for the realm of favor with my God, that even his enemies are favoring him. Amen. That maybe they've chosen to just like, you know, I don't like you anymore. And all of a sudden that their heart gets turned around. And the favor of God on that in Jesus' name, hallelujah! And that favor realm of being a favor of God with God and man. God gives us favor with God and man, and we thank you, Lord, for that favor realm, that you bless him with that favor realm. Open up that favor realm, God, and show him how to, like we're talking about Jeannie, how God's showing us how, he's showing me this too, how to finish things. Make sure you finish it. People are wondering why they get the final payment on something, you know, from God. It's like, well, we never finished it. So help us to finish, Jesus. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, most people don't finish things. You know, some things they don't. Some things they finish, some things they don't. But the harder things, you know, it takes to finish them, it just takes, like Christ going to the cross. It took some yielding his will to the Father at another level he never had before. Not my will, but thy will be done. And I'm going to the cross. Okay, God, here I go. And then, you know, so in Jesus' name, hallelujah. The whole enemy realm, God, that Mike finds favor with his enemies and those who have, you know, decided to be enemy or take up an enemy thing with him in Jesus' name, to turn that around in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And bless him with favor. Bless his money, God. Bless his money in Jesus' name. And, you know, expose those things that try to fear and dominate, try to create fear and to dominate things in Jesus' name, that fear be broken off in Jesus' name, and the favor of God in the name of the Lord open up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 All right. Manjula, $7. Thank you, Manjula, for that seven. We just bless you for that, Manjula. May God create in you new desires. I see God giving you new desires. When God gives us new desires, that means he's given some direction. Desires create direction, and directions come from desires from the Lord. And so as God gives you these new, I want to say new desires, because that's what I'm seeing it, feeling it, like new desires for a new direction, like giving you direction on how to do a thing, how to work a thing, how to do a thing. And sometimes the creative desires God gives us is to be creative about how we do it. God giving you creative ways on how to do things, ways you've never done it before. And all of a sudden you find a creative way to, you know, get attention to that particular thing, or so people can see what they need to see about you, to be able to get, like that woman, like I talked about this the other night, how that woman who said, yeah, Lord, the bread belongs to the children. He's talking about to the Jews and not to the Gentiles. But she says, even though I'm a Gentile, you know, I eat the bread from the master's table. And it totally turned Jesus' head. He kind of went, oh, my gosh, what is going on? And it totally turned his head, got his attention. And God giving you creative ways to answer and say and do things, and the way that you look at things, so that it can get the attention of Jesus. He goes, wow, Manjula, whoa, dude, that's amazing. Not dude, but you know what I mean. I call it a dude. I have it. Okay, Marja. Marja, thank you, Jesus, for Marja. Thank you, Lord, for Marja. God, I thank you for the kingdom of God message. I thank you for the kingdom message, because when we have the kingdom message, the right one, to understand the kingdom the way it really is, not democracy, but the way God is going to do it, we don't vote, we do. When you get the right kingdom message, that's when all those other things come to you, right? Seek first the kingdom of God and the way the kingdom of God really is. And what it is, then all of, and his righteousness, and all those other things get added to you. And God wants to show you that all those things get added to you. And I speak forth, Margaret, that those other things, those people, the favor you need, the timeshares that you need, that come to you, and the favor of God to get them and receive them in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, favor with those timeshares. I don't even know what timeshares are, whether it's a spiritual thing or a physical thing, but in the name of Jesus, let that be done right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty with you, Marja. In the name of Jesus, I just declare and decree it. Let it be done right now. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, but every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn it. Okay? So, yeah. All right. In Jesus' name. Okay. Okay. Give me just a minute here, please. Yes. Thank you. Okay. Shannon, $10. Thank you, Shannon. You pray for my wife and meeting her, and for my investments to take off. And any word from God on your, okay, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for surprising Shannon with liking things that he didn't normally like. It's like I see God changing your flavor, your taste for things. Sometimes we desire certain things, and then our taste buds begin to change toward what we want for a wife or a woman or life. Things in Jesus' name. And I thank you, God, that you give him, so could you imagine having a taste bud for a certain thing and then 3 years later your taste buds changed because God matured you? You know, it's like that's not supposed to happen. It's like, you know, that when God gives us a taste for something, it comes from the spirit realm, which never changes. And so, Lord, I thank you for giving him taste buds from the spirit realm like he's never had before. And that's going to change some of the things he thinks and wants and desires even to even a higher level, to a higher degree, to a higher level in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open that up for him, God, and give him favor. Bless his investments to Jesus and cause him to walk in high places in Jesus' name, in the market realm, in the I know you're investing in you know, the things you're investing in, Bitcoin, I think, or whatever it is. I don't remember exactly what it is, but so thank you, Jesus, for I never heard any, I've never heard anything about any of those things. So it doesn't mean God's not going to bless them, of course, but I haven't heard anything about that yet. But yeah, so we're getting ready to set up. You know, we're setting up a thing with four people investing, and you'll be invested in that. But you've been, you know, you've been giving and helping faithful to PGN for a long time. And so you're going to be part of that. So let's believe, God, that your investments will be good there, and the investments that God gives us with PGN through the mantle of the market mantle will bless you too. All right? God's going to do a lot of that. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right. The fresh anointing be poured out on Shannon, God, in Jesus' name, and raise his level of his giving where he can do it because he's being blessed, not because he's being asked to, because he's being blessed. You bless him, and his giving level changes. Amen. Yeah, to a higher level. Amen. In Jesus' name, bless that. All right, Nicole, $7.07, building fund. Thank you for that offering. Nicole, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the peace. Thank you, Lord, for the brokenness, the broken bread that you're making her, God, the broken bread in her life. God, that broken bread makes sense. Sometimes that broken bread doesn't make sense. When we go through brokenness, it doesn't make any sense. It's not supposed to. If it made sense, we would know. You know, we'd know everything. We wouldn't be truly be broken. But God is breaking us up from the depths of our belly, and our belly area is being broken up in Jesus' name. And, you know, and he's changing desires right now. Since he's changing desires. He gives us desires for things, and we work through that, and then he takes it to another glory, to another realm. And I see, God, your desires changing at a higher level, you know, from glory to glory. And so in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for that, for her, and increase and multiply her and give her that, let that faith that is in her, God, the faith that's already in her, be stirred up. I see the waters, the stirring, God stirring the waters of your faith. Amen. In Jesus' name, stirring the waters of your faith. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, where you can step into your own faith stirring. So you stir up the waters and you jump in. Not like you have to wait for somebody else to stir up the waters. It's like God uses you to stir up the waters and you dive into that. Amen. So God, show her how to, give Nicole the ability, and showing her how to stir up her own faith, or stir up the faith of Jesus. Like I've given two or three words like this lately, how the woman, one of the women who said the mass, the crumbs, the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. I mean, that really got Jesus' attention. It really got his attention. And so, I mean, and then he did something he wasn't normally going to do. So God wants to move you into that thing of doing things you're not normally going to do. Like, oh, I'm not supposed to do that. But he does it anyway because, you know, you stirred up the Lord, and therefore he dove in, you know, when he wasn't supposed to. Well, I'm not supposed to go swimming right now in this. But you stirred up the water, so I can't help it. Jesus, when he sees faith being stirred up, he gets excited about it. You see in that scripture, it's amazing what stirs him up. Is faith, because faith is what brings the action of God into something. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. All right. Praise God. Been a really, really good night. I think that's about it, though, for the night. I think it's 11:30 or 11:20 something. Oh, wow. Jeff, you shocked me. 1111111. What the heck is that? My gosh. Yeah, it just blessed my mind. The 111. Wow. Amazing. Really, really cool. Amen. Yeah, that is awesome. Okay, Jeff, Jeff just sent in. I gotta read this. Hang on a second. That's amazing. $1,111.11. What a way to, I think, end the night. 1-1-1-1-1. That's amazing. Wow. God bless you guys for that. I just love the number thing. The number thing just wows me. I just go, wow. 1-1-1-1-1-1-1. Yeah. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name. You know, that's also, 8 is new beginnings, but 1 is like actually beginning them. You know, like 8, the number 8 means new beginnings, but the number 1 means actually like the first step. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's 6 steps. Yeah, like taking, like man taking, you know, like it's like taking us on the moon or something, like man's first step on the moon. I can't remember how they say that exactly. But, yeah, it's like step, like that's the first, like you're stepping into it. Like, well, I was given a word to, I think it was Nicole, about stirring up her faith. So what thing stirs up Jesus' faith is you know, it's like you stir up faith and you step into it. You step into the faith that Jesus stirred up and you get your blessing. So I thank you, Lord, for the new beginnings, Father, and the first steps. And the first steps have already been taken. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you're going to make more in like a six-month period. In a six-month period, you're going to see more things happen in a six-month period than you've seen in 6 years. 6 months in a six-year period. It's like the times and seasons are increasing. It's like the things are happening quicker, you know, in increase. I think you kind of talked about that before, so I'm remembering that as it's coming out of my mouth. So I thank you, Jesus, for blessing them and bringing them into that new beginning that's already begun, and they've already taken many steps into the new beginning already, stepping into that. And hallelujah. Let it be done, God. Open it up, increase it, multiply it, and in Jesus' name, and cause it to, you know, bring freedom. I see the spirit of freedom, that God is bringing great freedom to your life, to where you, you know, your obedience to God is putting into positions. It's like the 1-1-1, all the ones are positions. It's like each one of those is a position, like 6 positions that God is putting you in, like a position for one thing, another position, like 6 positions that are being opened up, 6 positions. And thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, for opening it up. Yeah, hallelujah, open it up in Jesus' name. And there's something about those numbers and the 1-1-1-1-1-1, all that thing in Jesus' name, hallelujah. We have stepped, we've crossed the River Jordan, we've stepped into the promises, and now it's just a matter of taking the booty and taking the land and taking the property. That's what Canaan is all about. Jeff and Uke, is about taking the land and taking the property, and that God has already prepared for us. He's already done it. The people that have gone before us, I don't know if it's people in your family. I don't know whether it's people in your family or people spiritually that have gone before you that have prepared the way before you. But each person, just like Abraham blessed Isaac, but Isaac had to find his way about the blessing. That scared me. I spoke to me in 90 seconds. So it's like, you know, Abraham began the blessing, and then Isaac stepped into it, you know, but he had to step into it himself. Abraham blessed him with the blessing. It's like those that have gone before you have opened up, have began, like Abraham began it, and then prepared the way for you. So, and you're going to take it and increase it and move into it deeper and further. So thank you, Jesus, for that, that those who have gone before you and prepare the way, but you've had to step up and make it your own way yourself, which was part of the blessing. Part of the blessing is not necessarily living off somebody else's blessing, but starting from scratch yourself, so to speak, and with the blessing, enter into the increase of a war. And God makes things happen because between you and him, not because of daddy or mommy or uncle or some great preacher or some great prophet, but because, you know, you guys decided to, you know, step in and you started from scratch in a sense. Because, like, the blessing was on Abraham, the blessing that was on Jacob, on Isaac and Jacob, the father before them did it, but each of them had to learn to work their own thing. And they wasn't given to them, but the blessing was given. But the blessing came with nothing in the natural, but brought everything in the spirit. And so God, and then Jacob, of course, learned how to use the blessing. You know, where everything when the crooked people tried to take advantage of him, his father-in-law, because the blessing was on him, he learned how to work it and pray his way through. For the blessing came anyway, despite the crooked things that his father-in-law did. And so that's part of the blessing. The blessing is you start with nothing in the natural, but you start with the blessing, and the blessing causes you to be blessed. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? So, so God opening it up for you guys and blessing that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. New properties, new lands, new, you know, I think even look at the buildings, but just new property, new lands, the things that are on land, the things that's in the land and on the land, getting the riches of the land in Jesus' name, hallelujah, and reaping the harvest from the riches of the land, finding things that other people couldn't find, the riches that other people couldn't find in property and land and buildings and things, you know, that are on land, finding the riches in them. Others couldn't discover, but just like Abraham and Isaac, Abraham could find water where nobody else could find water. Why? Because the blessing was on him. He could find water. That's why he always had good crops and was blessed, because he could always find water. The other people didn't have the blessing. They couldn't find the water. It was there, but they couldn't find it. But Abraham did because he had the blessing. So that same thing, being able to find treasures in things, in all kinds of things, like invest, buying a building for, you know, $500,000 and selling it for, you know, 100 times that, you know, you see what I'm saying? And doing just the right things to it to make it appealing and spruce it up for little of nothing. And making the value of it much higher than it was. In other words, making it into a treasure, the treasure room. Yeah. All right. You guys, wow, what a night tonight. It's been great. That's really great. Thank you, Jesus. That's what kind of surprised me when I said, oh, my God. 1111111. Those numbers come in. I was like, thank you, Jesus. That is so awesome. Number round. I love it. Thank you, Jesus. And so, yeah, that's it. No notes or anything. All right. Praise God. What a great night tonight. I tell you what, y'all, get ready. Get ready because God's already doing it. But we're going to discover what he's already done. Yeah. He's opening our eyes to what he's already done. Yes, that's a word from God for somebody. You're going to discover the things that God has already done for you. You just haven't seen them yet. Wow. And I mean amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. Okay. All right, everybody. Thank you very much. God bless. I think that's it for tonight. And may God bless you, open you up, increase you, and be with you all the way. All right. Okay. One second. Okay, we just finished our waterfall, Keo Pond, and you mentioned water. Yeah. Oh, cool. You just finished your waterfall. Koi pond. I don't guess I know what that is. What is that, a koi pond? Oh. Did you guys make that yourself? That's cool. Oh, that's like out in your yard or something, or out in the, is that out in the yard? You guys didn't make it? We hired an instrument. Yeah, sure. That's, I guess that's what I meant. That's the front yard. I love that. That's amazing. That is so cool. It almost looks like that taco you showed me. It's a lot better, you know. That is so cool. Wow. What style is that? I mean, what kind of style is that? Is there a certain style about that, or is that really cool looking? Looks like it has eyes and a mouth or something. I don't know what that is. Really cool, though. I love the natural look about that. That is so cool. Wow. Yeah, looks like it's got two eyes and a mouth. Used to be an empty lot. Oh, wow. Very, very cool. I love it. Cool. Very creative. Taking an empty lot and making a treasure out of an empty lot. Empty land. Yeah, there you go. Empty land. Okay. Beautifying God's property. That's making it the Garden of Eden. That's great. Let's see. Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, I see. There's the whole thing. Oh, wow. I love the rocks. Y'all don't like to mow the yard. That's just smart. That is so cool looking. Wow. I love it. Awesome. Oh, that's what it looked like before? That's what it looked like before. The lot before you guys, before the, is that right? Am I doing it right? So what is that lot? Okay, that's the lot before. Okay. Very cool. Very, very cool. I love it. Awesome. Sprucing up the neighborhood, say the least. Sprucing up the neighborhood. Wow, I love it. That is really cool. All right. Houses and homes and all kinds of things going on, that's for sure. Okay, let me do something here. Hang on a second. Okay. All right, everyone. I love this stuff, man. I love our family. Our PGN family is so blessed, and all the different things, all the different personalities and things that God's doing. You'd be surprised all the different variations of things the way God's doing stuff. I mean, it's just really, 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 really cool. Really, really, really cool. All right, y'all. I guess that's it. We're going to have a great weekend. It's going to be the 4th of July, I think, what, Sunday? So enjoy that. Have fun with that. And we're going to celebrate freedom and liberty, that's for sure. So, yeah, pray for us as we get ready to setting up the market thing. There's a lot to it. A little bit more than I thought. Not a big deal at all, but it's just a matter of a lot of paperwork. And like I said, we're redoing our board. And redoing some things. We're doing knocking two birds with one stone. We're going to join the ECFA. So we're changing some stuff and kind of like a new beginning, sort of in a way, in a sense. Same thing, but with a facelift, maybe a major facelift. What's another? So pray for us as we do all that. Keeps me busy. So thank you that I'm going to rest good this weekend. And see you guys next Monday, this coming Monday. Really, really been great. God is just blessing in so many different ways, man. It's just amazing. Literally, it's amazing. All right, I'm trying to find my way out here. Okay, I guess that's it. And bless everyone. Thank you for giving tonight. Thank you for loving giving. That's what I love about you guys. You guys love to give. And we love to put God's money to work for him. So thank you for all that. And may God richly bless you all. And we love you very, very, very much. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend. Have a good 4th of July. All right. All right. Bye-bye.